And now it's time for Penn Quaker Football here on News Talk 990 WNTP.
The following is an exclusive production of the Penn Sports Network and 990 WNTP AM Philadelphia, broadcasting University of Pennsylvania football.
Over the takes the snap, play action, great protection. Rolls out far right towards the end zone, caught for the touchdown. Kyle Durham, the connection from Robert Irvin. Irvin play action, over the middle, wide open team. Connection, a first down and a lot more. On the way handoff draw, DiMaggio is there. Starts to have five, and the goal line leads, touchdown. Touchdown Quakers, deep down the middle of the field towards the end zone. Picked off, 10 again, and this time it was Jonathan Salinger.
University of Pennsylvania football, in its 132nd tradition-rich season, is on the air. 2008 Penn football on the Penn Sports Network is brought to you in part by Admiral's Cheesesteaks of University City, CNH, the Comcast Network, Comcast Sportsnet, the Holiday Inn Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, the Inn at Penn and Penn A Restaurant, Pico Energy, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Sprinter, United Healthcare, and World Cafe Live. Now, from the broadcast booth, in his 27th year as a color analyst, former Quaker Hench Murray, and the play-by-play voice of Penn football, Brian Seltzer.
Today, the Penn Quakers confront their most crucial contest in 2 years, off to a 2-0 start in Ivy League competition, and tied atop the Ancient Eight standings, the Red and Blue will try to transform themselves from a potential to true contender, battling the Bulldogs of Yale, a preseason favorite. With that, from the Yale Bowl, capacity 61,446 on the campus of Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, this is Penn Football. Alongside Hench Murray, Brian Seltzer. Hench, a balmy late October Saturday afternoon as these two teams take the field, and very interesting plot lines developing right before kickoff. Now, for the Penn Quakers, we can expect to see possibly a little bit of a shakeup on the offensive side of the ball after they struggled in that area last week against Columbia.
Well, two things that I learned from talking with Coach Spagnuolo this week were, one, they were going to really shrink the package offensively because he felt that they were just trying to do too many things, and probably they were leading to some of that inconsistency that you and I have talked a lot about all season, Brian. And the other is that they're going to go to that shotgun option piece of the offense that they have not shown yet this season. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about Robert Irvin, more the pure drop-back quarterback, Kyle Olsen a little more athletic, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see Olsen get a lot more snaps today.
And for Kyle Olsen, there have been rumblings that perhaps the Red and Blue tabbed him as their starter for this game, which would be the first start of his Quaker career. And you mentioned about the playbook, Hench. Extremely interesting. They started the season with about 180 offensive plays in their playbook. They scaled it back to 140 last week, and going into this game, they're right around 65, so they're really going to try and make this manageable for whoever's under center for the team today.
Yeah, I think they really took a step back and took a real clinical look at what they were doing, and they did a lot of analysis of the play selection. They did an analysis of how frequently they ran plays versus how often they were able to practice it during the week, and it didn't add up to Coach Spagnuolo. And so what he's doing is simply cutting back, reducing the number of things they have to worry about, and hoping that they'll execute those more effectively than they have the 140.
So when it comes to the Quakers at quarterback, it will be the decision by choice of their head coach, Al Bagnoli. Now for the Yale Bulldogs, they're led by Jack Sidlecki today. They don't have a decision in the matter because their top-string quarterback, Ryan Fodor, he is battling back and shoulder problems. He likely will not play this afternoon, so that means Hench Brooke Hart, a 6'5", 210-pound sophomore signal caller from State College, Pennsylvania, out of State College High School, he'll likely get the nod, and he's had limited action in 3 games so far this season. He's completed 20 of 29 pass attempts.
And he's a lefty, and you know he's got that good size that you talked about. And in some cases, this isn't necessarily an advantage to Penn because now you got an unknown commodity. You haven't seen him on film. You're not quite sure what he can and can't do. And if he's a big, strong, athletic kid, if you've been completing 20 out of 29 passes, it means the kid can throw the football. So there may be some testing going on out here on both sides of the ball.
Both of these squads taking the field this afternoon with 3-2 overall marks, but for the Penn Quakers, unblemished in conference competition so far at 2-0, defeating Dartmouth and Columbia. For the Yale Bulldogs, they slipped in their Ancient Eight opener back on September 27th, a very surprising result in Ithaca against Cornell. They lost that one 17-14, their most recent Ivy League victory. That came against Dartmouth when they bludgeoned the Big Green 34-7. And hence, when you take a look across the field on the sidelines, it just seems like this Penn program is pulsating with a ton of energy, the likes of which we haven't seen in the past couple of years.
Well, they're also hungry today, and they're also healthy today. They get Tyson Morgul's back, Mike DiMaggio's back, a couple guys who key players who missed last week's game. And I just, again, in talking with the coach, he felt they were really finally healthy for the first time all season. So they've got everything in front of them, and needless to say, this is a pivotal game as they head forward in search of the Ivy League title. They can't think too much past this game, frankly.
The Yale Bulldogs will receive to start this afternoon's outing. They will move from left to right as you face the radio dial. Penn will kick off. The Quakers in their all-white uniforms, as they typically wear on the road. Penn spelled out in black, navy blue across the front. Blue numbers, front and back, and on the shoulder pads as well. With the white pants, a little bit of red and blue trim. And for the Bulldogs, white bottoms, navy blue tops, a white helmet with the navy blue Y on either side. Setting up to kick it off for the Quakers, it is Dave Cuccio who raises the right hand from his own 30-yard line. He steps up, approaches it, and the ball twirls nose-to-nose, coming down to Cristogiolo deep in his own end zone. He'll take the left knee, and that's where Yale's offense will start at their own 20-yard line to begin this game.
Well, we should point out again, Brian, the wind is at the Quakers back here in the first quarter as they go from left to our left to our right. It's a pretty strong, gusty wind, and that could be a factor here now. Admittedly, we're inside the Yale Bowl, which is something that totally surrounds the field, and that may cut down a little bit on the wind at ground level. But up here in the stands, it's pretty blustery.
It is Brooke Hart at quarterback, the second stringer for the Yale Bulldogs. There's a slot to the far left side of the field as they take their time getting ready to crouch in for the snap, as Penn aligns their defense and Yale their offense. The officials blow the whistle, and we're ready to go. So under center, it is Brooke Hart. The tailback is the very dangerous Mike McLeod. Slot far left, and on the first play of the game, they go to McLeod, who gashes through a hole on the left side, still on his feet, and he racks up about 8 yards rushing to start things off for the Bulldogs. And hence, Mike McLeod, he is a preseason All-American pick. He's on the Walter Payton watch for the premier player in the football championship subdivision level, but he's been a little bit banged up this year.
Yeah, and that's apparently hampered some of his play, but he was the 2007 Ivy League Player of the Year. This kid can really do it.
It's interesting, hence, that Yale's offense averaging just 92.6 yards on the ground. This could be the first time since 1996 that Yale has not averaged over 100 yards on the ground per game.
Well, you know, in several games during McLeod's career, he's the guy who's gotten 100 by himself, so it is a little bit surprising.
And it's interesting, there are a lot of theories on the Quaker coaching staff as to why, as there's an official timeout on the field, as to why McLeod might be struggling. And if you turn back the clock to last year's game on the 20th of October, a gut-wrenching triple overtime loss for Penn, 26-20 at Franklin Field, McLeod banged up his toe in that game, and since that outing, he really hasn't ever been the same.
Yep, that's actually the case. He was significantly slowed down the second half last year in that game. And I think there's a stoppage of play here. It looks like the field clock, the game clock, didn't move.
And now it is moving as they try to set the correct time. It stops at 14:54 remaining in the first quarter, and Yale will have a second and one opportunity from their own 29-yard line. And we should point out that this is a brand-new, bright, bold scoreboard here at the Yale Bowl. You know, these old Ivy League stadiums, endearing in their history, but not always the most modernly equipped. But we can see what down and distance it is now, and the time and the score.
That represents a change, for sure.
And actually, Yale's locker room, the home team's locker room, is undergoing renovations right now. So they're huddled out in a portable outside the facility here at the Yale Bowl, and they have to take that treacherous trek through the stands with their cleats to get down on the field. So now the sides will huddle up as the officials will look to get it right in terms of the time on the game clock at the first play of this contest. Time did not tick off, and this is the last thing, hence, that you want to stall the momentum in the outset of a game with the utmost importance for both of these two teams.
Well, there's no doubt about that. It's the clock says 14 minutes and 52 seconds, so you would assume that it's ready to go. So why there's this ongoing delay, I'm not entirely sure. Yale back on the field getting into the huddle, but one of the officials is straddling the football with that body posture saying you're not going anywhere until we give you the green light here.
Resetting the quarterback story for the Yale Bulldogs. We'll be very interested to see whether or not Kyle Olsen gets the nod for the Quakes. But Ryan Fodor, he is out. He's a senior from Madison, Connecticut, out of Daniel Hand High School, and he replaced two-year starter from the last two seasons in Matt Palamas, who was very effective for the Bulldogs. And Fodor, he doesn't put up big numbers. He was efficient, completing 61.1% of his passes, six touchdown tosses to one interception, but again, his back and shoulder problems that he played through last weekend in the loss 12-10 at Fordham have kept him out of this contest. So now it is Brookhart under center as we resume action here at the Yale Bowl. Slot near right. The tailback is Mike McLeod. Second and one for the Bulldogs from the 29. McLeod left side, darts up the middle, dashes ahead, has a first down and about 3 yards more as he gets up to his own 34-yard line. So Mike McLeod churning out 14 yards on two plays to start this game.
And he's one of those guys, he weighs about 200 pounds, but he really packs a punch, and you really have to tackle him low. The defensive backs, if they try to take him on chest-to-chest, it's going to be a mismatch.
First and 10 for the Bulldogs from a far left hash. They're on 34-yard line, slot near right. The tailback again is McLeod. Hart is under center. In motion, it's A.J. Hassey, the tight end. And now Hart looks over the middle, and he hits the tight end Hassey across the 41-yard line to the 43, a connection of 9 yards. So Yale, they like to utilize their tight ends a lot. As you look at their depth chart, they line up with a pair of receivers and also two tight ends. John Sheffield is the top tight end on this team. He leads the club with 251 yards receiving, but A.J. Hassey, not too bad himself. 8 grabs on the air for 82 yards. So it'll be second and a short two for the Bulldogs from their own 43. In motion, it is Hossie to the far left side. Slot far left. The tailback is McLeod. He goes to his left, and he's wrapped up at the line of scrimmage by the Quakers' defensive front.
Well, the Quakers' defense has been steady all season. In fact, they're ranked very, very high in the national statistics. And they have given up some yardage in the middle of the field, but they've done a terrific job when they've been under pressure. I think another thing that's worth pointing out, Brian, is the coaching staff at Penn, again this year as they have in past, have just do a terrific job making adjustments at halftime.
Penn's defense, hence, as you alluded to, one of the tops in the Ivy League, the tops in the Ivy League, fourth in FCS in total yards surrendered per game. And now it's a big third and one opportunity for this defense to set the tone in the L43. Hart is under center, backs in an eye set, receiver right and left, and there's McLeod up the gut, and he doesn't get it as Penn's defense secures him at the line of scrimmage, and they're going to get Yale's offense off the field.
That's just great work by Joe Rose coming in from that left defensive end position. He closed down so hard, he got to McLeod's legs before he got to the line of scrimmage. That slowed him up. He didn't actually make the tackle, but by slowing him up, he had no momentum as he was going forward, and the rest of the Penn defense just smothered him. That's really nice work.
Tom Manti will punt it away for the Yale Bulldogs, standing at his own 30 on the far left hash, and Chris Wynn is back at his own 20 to return right to left for the red and blue, and there's a punt. It's a nice high hanger, and Wynn calls for a fair catch, and he takes it at his own 12-yard line. So now, who will it be? Number 9 for the red and blue hench, or number 17 as we try to look across the field here at the Yale Bowl?
You're making this a real teaser, Brian. What can I say?
We just try to build the drama here
at
the Penn Sports Network. As there's no score with 12:06 remaining in the first quarter. Penn 2-0, the ancient 8 slate so far. Yale is 1-1.
Well, we're going to have to wait a little longer because you have to realize this is a televised game, and any time there's a stoppage of play, they feel they can throw in about 2 or 3 minutes of commercials, and that's what's happened, so you're going to have to just sit tight out there.
Kyle Olsen, hench, what have you seen from him so far this season as far as his strengths and what he could bring to the table for the rest of the
league? He's just a good athlete. He's got good mobility back there. He's got a quick release. He is a lefty, as we've said many times. And I know that one of the things they're going to do is run that shotgun option part of the offense. And, in fact, to Penn's advantage, they've not shown this all year, so it's something that Yale probably has not practiced against. And, you know, there's always the chance that you're going to catch them by surprise when you unveil that today. I think Olsen is the guy to do it. I don't think you know, if Robert's in there and it's part of the package, he's going to have to run that. But certainly Kyle has a little more mobility. We've seen that too. I think he's a punter.
And the thing about it is, Hench, is that the coaching staff really does have confidence in both of these players. And if it doesn't work with Kyle at the start, well, it doesn't work, and they'll go back to Robert Irvin.
Oh, I think you're right.
So now, as the Red and Blue offense takes the field, they will have it first and 10 from their own 13-yard line. And under center, it is Robert Irvin, interestingly enough. Well, that's why we always cover our bases, huh?
Yes, we do.
So Robert Irvin will go underneath on the season. He has started all six games now, and he's tossed for 920 yards. He is ninth on the all-time passing list for Penn. A receiver far left, pardon me, far right for the Quakers, it's Kyle Durham. And Irvin, play action, bootleg far right, and he hits on a screen Josh Coots, who chews up some yardage along the far right sideline. He gets across the 20, up to the 22, a pickup of 8 for Penn.
And they may have felt, if in fact they were considering starting Olsen, given the field position, it's not the kind of place you want to run a lot of option stuff. And so Robert has been the starter all season. He's starter again today, and that time a little bootleg going right. That's another thing we're going to see more of today, Brian, that sprint out, roll out kind of stuff to give him a little bit more time back there.
Penn is a slot near left. The tailback is DiMaggio back in action following his shoulder separation at Georgetown. Second and 3 for Penn from their own 21-yard line. Irvin under center. He gives the call to DiMaggio with persistence. He pounds his way along the far right side right along that first down marker. We'll see if they give it to him, and it looks like they did. As you hear some applause from the Penn side on the east side of the stadium here. This much we do know, Hench, that perhaps it was more of a consideration than at any point this campaign among the coaching staff that perhaps they would utilize Kyle in this game. And they had not told the players, that much we can tell you, prior to this game, who it was going to be. So perhaps Robert Irvin gives them some composure there and not throwing the guys off. First and 10, Penn, their own 23-yard line, the tailback DiMaggio, and it's Durham, the receiver, far right. Play action, great protection. Irvin bombs out over the middle, and it's overthrown, intended for the deep man, Kyle Durham.
Penn came out with an interesting double tight end, double flanker set that time. Both flankers to the right side. Durham was the widest of the two, and he just ran the post pattern after a nice play action fake that time by Robert Irvin. He just had a little bit too much on the football, because if it had been thrown a little bit shorter, I think Kyle Durham would have had that catch and possibly taken it all the way.
Second and 10 for Penn, they're on 23-yard line. It's Lawrence near left in the slot. David Worse for the Quakers under center. Irvin take the handoff. Now they give it to DiMaggio along the right side as he batters his way across the 25 up to the 27-yard line. He amasses 4 on the carry. Rice in on the stop for the Yale Bulldogs. And Hench, these are the top two defense tied in the Ivy League. And they're very similar clubs, because neither has been able to get their offensive consistency down this campaign. But defensively, that's what's kept them in ballgames.
Yeah, if you look at the tail of the tape, the statistics are very, very evenly matched.
It'll be third and a long 7 for Penn from their own 27. Shotgun set, Irvin the quarterback. It's a slot near left, and they have Lawrence far right. DiMaggio standing to the left of Irvin. With 10:14 to go in the first quarter, no score. Irvin takes the snap, drops back, heaves it high, and it's picked off by Paul Rice. Down the far left side of the field, it is Rice to the 20, to the 15, and he's out of bounds. They'll spot it at the Quaker 18-yard line, and Rob Irvin has just failed that throw way too high.
Well, he's looking for Marcus Lawrence on the curl at about 15 yards, and he had a lot of muscle on. Now, I will point out, as I said earlier, that the wind is at his back, and sometimes that does cause the football to sail. And I'm not sure whether that was what happened there or not, but he certainly took off on him and was an easy interception well over the head of Marcus Lawrence.
And hence, that is the first pick thrown by Robert Irvin in his past 64 pass attempts. So Robert had been playing a little bit more disciplined. But a crucial cough-up right there as the Yale offense will get back out onto the field, led by Brooke Hart, spotted at the Red and Blue 17. under center. It's Hart, backside set. Now they motion Sweat, the fullback, out of the backfield left. Play action fakes. Hart under pressure, escapes the tackle. He's going to rush right up the middle across the 10, down to the 10, 7 yards line. He chews up 10 on the count.
Well, that can kill you, and that's a pattern we've seen a lot. We saw it last week, actually, a lot against Columbia. The pressure on the pass rush is coming from the outside. Pretty good pressure, I might add. But as the receivers are covered, the quarterback, Hart just decides there's nothing to throw to, and he just takes it right back up the middle.
Going back to the pick by Rice, that is his third on the season, and for the Yale defense, their 13th. First and goal for the Bulldogs from the Penn 7-yard line. It's Hart under center, slot near right. The tailback is McLeod. A wide receiver screen near sideline right and rolling right into the end zone for the Bulldogs. It's the tight end, John Sheffield. And the Bulldogs strike first with 9:24 remaining in the first quarter.
Well, that's that little crossing pick play, and Jordan Fournet, the wide receiver, came in as the ball was thrown, and I suppose it was right after it was caught, and he just picked off Tyson Moggle, who was supposed to be in coverage there. There was nothing he could do, and once he made the catch, it was an easy waltz into the end zone. So not an auspicious start here for the Quakers.
Tom Mantio on the field, attack on the point after. It is up, and it is good. And the Yale Bulldogs, with 9:24 remaining in quarter number one, take a 7-0 lead on the Quakes. You're listening to Penn Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
And now, let's get back to two Chucklehead Talk Sports, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Fill your thoughts.
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you
no,
are.
You
no,
are.
You are. Anyways, next up, the Wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the Wave.
Me too.
Okay, we're still 1989.
Come
the Wave
on.
Is about as cool as acid wash paint jeans.
The Wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans who nod off at the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree? Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine. We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious. G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng. Eng. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
An unsettling start for the Penn Quakers at the Yale Bowl this afternoon alongside Hench Murray, Brian Seltzer, Ed Chiazzo at the controls at the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. And Hench, the Yale Bulldogs do one of the things that they do best, which is intercept passes. They're 13th on the year, and then they made Penn pay by going right into the end zone. A 7-yard reception by the tight end John Sheffield, his third touchdown catch of this campaign.
Well, that interception, I think, had the Penn defense back on its heels, because they had done such a good job of stopping that first Yale offensive thrust there on that third down, doing a nice job. And then the turnover, of course, takes the ball deep into their own territory. They do a good job with the pass rush, and Hart, the quarterback, breaks out of the pocket for a 12-yard gain. And then the second down, they run that crossing pattern, made it look easy. You don't want to get behind no matter where you're playing, but when you're at the Yale Bowl, that's even worse.
And Yale is fighting for its Ivy League title hope life this afternoon as they are 1-1 in H&H play. An upset loss at Ithaca set them back. They were in the hunt for the Ivy League title last year against Harvard, and then they were thwarted here at the Yale Bowl, 36-7 by the Crimson in the 124th playing of the game. Manny kicks it off from his own 30, and that is short. Taken by Wynn at his own 18, right up the gut, and he's run over at his own 25. The Penn Quakers need to respond here to try and keep themselves in this contest and just get some points to settle things down.
Well, here's the next question. You know, we speculated on the first series whether it was going to be Irvin or Olsen. It was Irvin. Do you think they make a change now?
I'm getting out of the business of speculation, Hench, after we built that up. And it is still Robert Irvin,
all right,
under center for the Quakers. Urban will start off from his own 26-yard line, Durham far right, and it is Lawrence near left, dotting the I in the backfield. It is Bradford Blackman. Now they split him out in the near left slot as a receiver. So Urban takes the snap and drops back, fires it out to Lawrence near side left. He shakes one tackle across the 30 to the 31, a pickup of about four on the play.
Well, that was one block shy of being a pretty big gain. It's that little swing screen out to the left side. Blackman was out there. He did a pretty decent job. One of the linemen got out and made the first kick out, but the second lineman, I couldn't tell who it was, did not get around in time to pick up the safety. So they'll settle for a five-yard gain on first down.
8:50 remaining in the first quarter. 7-0 Yale Bulldogs under center. It'll be Robert Urban. There's a slot far right in it is Kyle Durham. The tailback is Bradford Blackman. On second and six for the Quakers from their own 32, they motion Murray near left, and they give the call to Blackman. He dives ahead across the 35, up to the 36, as he punctures his way through some holes for a gain of about four. And Bradford Hanks, he did play last week, but he seemed a little bit limited with that ankle.
Yeah, actually he did a pretty good job there because he got into some traffic, heavy traffic, I would say, and just managed to lower his shoulder and head and kind of crawl forward. Picked up about four, so then faced with third and one here.
Their own 36, and what Penn needs to do is to get some rhythm on offense, obviously, but sustain some of these drives. Under center, Robert Urban. The lone receiver near left is Kyle Durham. The tailback is, interestingly, DiMaggio, who's a big physical runner. They call on him left side, gets past one tackle. A flag is thrown, and DiMaggio was stopped right up around the first down marker at the 37. But this one could be flagged against the Quakers with holding.
I'm not sure. There was certainly quick penetration. I'm not sure. No, it was a block below the waist, they're calling.
And that is Paul Zuckus, the referee, with the call.
This will be interesting.
And depending on where the spot is, as it looks like the Lions judge, James Gleason, is standing right at around the 36, which would be a yard shy of the first down. They declined the penalty, so Penn did not have enough.
So he's trusting that Coach Bagnoli is going to do probably the wise thing, which is punt it away. Again, the wind at Kyle Olson, who will be in here to punt this at his back, and he's just done a terrific job of kicking the ball this season.
He is first in the Ivy League with 16 punts inside the 20, and he stands at his own 22 along the near left hash to boot it away. And Chris Stolgelou is back to return it for the Yale Bulldogs at his own 20 between the hash marks. It's a low snap taken by Olson, and he gets off a line drive punt taken by Chris Stolgelou at the 22, and he gets across the 30 to the 32, or a turn of 10 yards for the Bulldogs. Gio Christodoulou doing a solid job in the return game, and we might expect him to see him active in the passing attack for the Bulldogs today, as one of their top receivers, Neil Lathan, is out of this game. Timeout on the field, 7-0 Yale on top of Penn with 7:17 to go in the first quarter. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, this is the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker ePass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
So tell me, what do you love about Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces.
Oh, yeah.
I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me, just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm up.
Yeah, you can get here for a month straight to get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and
boom,
that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. Only fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
News Talk 990 for intelligent conservative talk.
Nothing. Yale leading Penn on the Penn Sports Network with 7:17 to go in the first quarter. And hence it is a gray, cloudy, overcast afternoon in New Haven, Connecticut. And there's actually two fronts that are dancing in and around this area. There's one that's going east to west across the country, but also one shifting its way up the eastern seaboard. So hopefully we miss both of those. First and 10 Bulldogs, they start at their own 32, spot near left, Hart under center. Takes the snap, drops back over the middle, and he finds his tight end, A.J. Hossie, across the 40, up to the 44, a pickup of 12, and up for a first down. So that is what Yale has been doing so far today, working the ball to their tight ends, John Sheffield and A.J. Hossie.
Well, it's the same one they used in that first series. Hossie just goes down about 7 or 8 yards, turns to the outside. Jay Colabella, the Penn linebacker, is trying to cover him. He's a half step behind him, and there's not much you can do if the ball's thrown that well.
First and 10 for the Bulldogs. They're on 44-yard line. It is Hart under center. Slot far left. The tailback, Mike McLeod. They motion Hossie from left to right to the near wing. And now taking the handoff over right tackle, it's McLeod who's tripped up, and a flag flies as he gets across the 45.
That's just great work by Jake Luco, the Penn linebacker. That time he scraped in, shed a block, and made the tackle on McLeod. It looks like we're going to get a hold here, too.
And it is a holding call against the Bulldogs, so that will knock the Bulldogs back even farther. And interesting to see how the Bulldogs come out this season as they're off to a 3-2 overall start, 1-1, obviously, as we said, in the Ivy League. And you think about moments at points in time with the program and the impact that they have. And Yale last year, they cruised through the first 9 games of their slate last year, with the exception of Penn. They defeated all of their first 9 opponents by double figures, but then they got knocked off big time by the Crimson, and you wonder how much that lingers. First and a long 20 for the Bulldogs from their own 34. Trips far left, McLeod the tailback, and another flag flies as there was movement along the line of scrimmage early.
Thinking maybe somebody on Yale moved that time.
And the Bulldogs are a walk, walk, walking back even farther. Once again, Paul Zuckus.
He was out of the neutral zone before the ball was snapped.
Yeah.
He can't blow his head that way.
Well,
I guess he did, huh?
Zuckus saw it, and because of that, Penn gives it right back to Yale. And that will move them up to the 39, so it will be first and 15 now for the Bulldogs as they begin their third drive trying to get this started. Haven't been able to get a playoff without a penalty. Again, trips far left, one near right. The tailback is McLeod. And Hart gives to McLeod, who snuffed out in the backfield. Big Joe Gonnaproud gets up and drives back McLeod to the 35, a loss of 4.
Great job that time by Joe Gonnaproud to get some early penetration. And Tyson Morgan was coming from the safety spot that time on the blitz, and he was right there to help out. So good combination defense.
Gonnaproud at 6'1", 270 pounds. Weight-wise, he is the biggest body on this 10 defensive line, and hence he's really made the transition effectively from defensive tackle last year inside to nose guard in 2008.
Well, I think nose guard is probably the most thankless position on the field, I'll tell you. Double team on just about every play.
Absolutely. Second and 18 for the Bulldogs from the 36 shotgun screen of McLeod far left. He gets nowhere. Dropped after a gain of about maybe 1.5 at best. But they're going to spot the ball back at the original line of scrimmage at the 36.
Yeah, it looked like they were setting up screens on both sides that time. They chose the left, and I just mentioned how well Jake Luco had made a couple plays. There was another one where he just really hustled from his linebacker spot to get out there and stop the play before it got started.
5 minutes to go in the first quarter, 7-0 Bulldogs on top of the tied for first place Penn Quakers. As they're enjoying their first 3-game winning streak entering this afternoon since 2006. Hart goes under center, slot near right, tailback McLeod along the far left hash in motion. The tight end, A.J. Hossie, on 3rd and 18th and on 36. They just play it safe and give it to McLeod, but another flag is thrown, the third on this series. And this one might be again.
It was John Sheffield. He moved, number 2 for Yale. He just missed the snap count that time. And as a slot receiver, he was out there in the middle of nowhere. Everybody in the ballpark saw that.
And they move it back.
So Yale not doing itself any favors here with these penalties.
And it's, when you look at how opposing teams have scored points off of Penn this year, with the exception of Lafayette in the first half and Villanova. I mean, it's really been off of turnovers they've generated from Penn's offense, setting up their own offense in short situations. So, third and forever, 23 yards to go for the Bulldogs from their own 31. Slot near right, and they hand off to McLeod over left tackle. Nothing there. Cut back towards the center. And he muscles his way forward for about 3 yards, and that will not be nearly enough, as the Bulldogs will be forced to punt it for the second time today.
McLeod gets up with a little conversation there. He didn't like getting hit like that and getting put right flat on his back.
And despite his injury woes that he's been banged up throughout this year, Mike McLeod still ended this afternoon second in the Ivy League in rushing yards total.
Marcus Warren.
To punt it away is Tom Manti for the Bulldogs, and back to return for the Quakers. It is again Chris Wynn, who calls for a fair catch. He hit it and lost it. Pardon me, that's Warren. And now flags fly, and we'll see if there were too many bodies too close to Lawrence and if there was any incidental contact there.
Well, I think that's what they're going to call. Again, it was kind of a knuckleball going out there. We talked about the wind that was going into the wind, which I think held it up. Chris Wynn did a real good job to hustle and get under it, raised his hand for the fair catch, but there was an awful lot of traffic around him.
And that was the first punt return of this season for Marcus Lawrence, who had 21 last year, and there is interference on the kicking team.
15-yarder.
So not only does Penn obviously retain possession with that, but they get to move up big time, and that will put them in pretty decent shape.
I'm not going to speculate who the quarterback is. How's that?
We'll just wait to see who it is.
I'm going to ask our expert in the booth, Chuck Shields, who he thinks is going to be in there.
And now they're going to move the ball all the way up to the 10-48.
Chuck gave a classic no call.
It has been Robert Irvin at the quarterback spot for Penn the first two series this afternoon, as there was a lot of speculation this past week as to who it might be, but it remains Robert Irvin.
Well, what a good spot to throw the football here. Almost at midfield. Got a big penalty break there on that punt.
Lawrence right, Durham near left, under center Irvin. The tailback is DiMaggio. They motion Coots right to left. Play action, Irvin on a great bootleg, rolls far right, heaves it to the far right sideline. He connects with Josh Coots, the second completion to the senior tight end today. And that gets Penn into Yale territory for the first time this afternoon.
Well, you know my thinking on that too, Brian. I'd run that bootleg till they stop it. And that time again, they're just sending Marcus Lawrence, who's the wide receiver, to that right side where the play actually ends up going straight down the field. They drag Kuntz out underneath it behind, and he's been wide open both times they've run it.
It'll be second and about five for Penn from the Bulldogs' 48-yard line. 7-0 Yale, 3:10 to go in the first quarter. Slot near left, tailback DiMaggio, under center Robert Irvin. Yale's defense creeps up a lot of movement early, and it was either Josh Coons for the Quakers or the defensive end Travis Henry for the Bulldogs.
Well, I think Josh Coons got a little too eager that time. From the slot position, actually the wing position on the left side, he just got into his pattern before the ball was snapped. He was obviously going out into that left flat, so that doesn't help.
That will negate the 5 yards gained on the pass from Irvin to Coons, who the two classmates. Now, Robert still has the potential for another season, but he and Coons, good friends. They really have a nice, solid rhythm. Now it's second and 10 for Penn following the penalty in their own 47. When they started this series, shotgun set, slot near left, one far right, tailback DiMaggio. Irvin takes the snap, pump takes on a screen under pressure, and he just grounds it. As coming in from the left side, it was Brady Hart out of State College High School for the Bulldogs.
They've had trouble making that screen work all season. Again, he makes a little pump fake out to the left and then tries to screen back right. And as he looked back to the right, there was one of those Yale defenders right there. He did the right thing, throwing the ball into the ground.
Penn started this drive with promise at their own 47, got into Yale territory. They were knocked back. And now they have a 3rd and 10 from their own 48-yard line. Two receivers, a slot to each side, shotgun set Irvin, Penn trailing 7-zip, and they move it from right to left. Yale showing blitz, here it comes, Irvin over the middle, nothing there. He was looking for Matt Appenfelder as he saw Brady Hart coming again this side from the right side of the line.
Well, Matt Appenfelder did not read the blitz that time. Robert knew he had to get rid of the football. And he was looking for that hot receiver, as they say, and Appenfelder was running his regular pattern. So Again, a harmless incompletion on a bad offensive set there for Penn.
Kyle Olson standing at his own 35 to punt it for Penn. Penn has faked it once this season. It was successful to Tyson Mogul, who was lined up as a gunner near left. Back to return Gio Christodoulou for the Bulldogs. He stands at his 10. Olson takes the snap, steps up, and calmly kicks it away. This one floats to Christodoulou at his own 10. He gets away from Mogul, has a seam in the center, and he's bulldozed back on a good special teams tackle by Josh Kuntz at his own 15. 2:28 remaining in the first quarter, 7-0 Yale, as we give you some scores from around the H&H, brought to you by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, located on 38th and Chestnut. It's Brown, also 2-0 in the conference standings, like Penn, 7-0 over Cornell, 5:07 remaining in the first quarter there. Harvard and Princeton, they're just underway in the first quarter in New Jersey, and Columbia and Dartmouth, someone's got a win, hence, at 4 o'clock. A nationally televised game, no less, for the winless Lions in Big Green. Hart from his own 16, looks left, now under pressure is going to run, and he's wrapped up across the 20. At his own 22, a pickup of 6 yards for the Yale quarterback. I would say Columbia in that one, would you? Hence against
being played
the
at
Big Green.
Is that at Columbia?
That is at Columbia.
Yeah, I would think Columbia played very well last week.
They did. I mean, they've been close. They've lost no game by more than 10 points. A 13-game losing streak, though, for the light blue. A receiver right and left for the Bulldogs from left to right. The tailback on the field for the Bulldogs is Ricky Galvez, and Galvez tries to gash over left tackle, and he runs into a wall of white Penn jerseys and gets zilch. No gain on the carry. That'll make it 3rd and 4 for the Bulldogs from their own 22.
There are a lot of Quakers around that one. The field announcer gave it to Jake Lucco, and the Penn players were patting him on the shoulders and the helmet, so I guess he did it. But that's one of those classics where somebody's going full tilt forward, and the next thing you know, they're going full tilt backward. Great hit by Jake Lucco.
Lucco, we've announced his name 3 times on tackle so far this afternoon. He is 2nd on his squad and stops this season. 3rd and 4 for the Bulldogs, their own 22 from the far left hash. Hart under center, tailback is Galvez, slot near left. They hand off to Galvez, who's gobbled up and then spit out by the Penn defense led by Guillermo Ruffalo. Penn's defense on the balls of its feet, Hatch, ready to pounce, and they have looked solid so far today.
I wonder whether McLeod's shaking up again, because obviously he was at that series. Good defensive series for Penn. Now let's see if we can get the offense in gear.
Galvez has now had 11 carries this campaign, and this is his 3rd appearance on the season. Chris Wynn back to return for Penn, putting away his Manti from his own 10. The line drive punt coming down to Wynn's far side right in his own 42. Wynn has a wedge across midfield, and a shoestring tackle saves him from breaking one right there for the Bulldogs. But Penn is going to start their first drive, Hench, in Yale territory, and you just got to hope they can get a little momentum going on the offensive side. The real only option they've had so far is with their tight end, their senior, Josh Kuntz.
On a bootleg, yeah. You know, this is the 2nd series in a row where they've had terrific field position. They've actually had it the whole game except for that one interception where Yale took it deep in their own territory. But the defense has really done its job. It's time for the offense to show something here.
Robert Irvin still at quarterback. 1st and 10, Penn from the Yale 46. Backside offset near left. Tailback is Blackman, slot near left as well. 18 seconds to go in the first quarter, 7-0 Yale. Play action, Irvin under pressure, and he is ramrodded back to the 40. His own 40, a loss of 14 yards.
Well, you just got to wonder a little bit about what's going on up front offensively for Penn, because Robert's been under pressure the whole time. Again, there was no play action that time. It was straight drop back. And he was under the gun as soon as he took the snap. He had really no chance to look down the field. So
the first quarter of competition comes to a close at the Yale Bowl, and Penn's offense is still trying to find its way. They trail 7-0 to Yale. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
If you're attending an event at Franklin Field or the Palestra and want to check out historic sites, the Holiday Inn Historic District, located in Old City, Philadelphia, has special discounted rates. Just call 1-800-THE-BELL and ask for the University of Pennsylvania rate. The hotel is newly renovated, only 3 miles from Penn and within walking distance to all major historic attractions, 50 restaurants, shops, and more. Call today and reserve your room. The Holiday Inn Historic District, 1-800-THE-BELL, 1-800-THE-BELL.
For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality healthcare products and services designed specifically to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, IBC provides healthcare insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, go online to IBX.com.
The second quarter about set to start at the Yale Bowl alongside Hench Murray, Brian Seltzer with you, Ed Chiazzo. Operating the board back at the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center, a 7-0 Yale lead is how it stands right now, Hench. And both of these defense, we knew they were going to be staunch, and it was probably going to come down to them. There's still a ton of game left to play. Which offense could take advantage of the opportunities created for it by the defense? And so far, Yale, their 13th interception of the season, put their offense at the Penn 18, and a couple plays later, it was a 7-yard touchdown toss to the tight end, John Sheffield. And they also did the Bulldogs just record their 13th sack of this season, which will put Penn back at their own 44-yard line and make it second and, yikes, 22. So the red and blue after they started this drive at the Bulldogs 46.
I think this was a fortuitous stoppage of play here as we change and head into the second quarter, because the Penn coaches have to get that offensive group together over there, and I'm sure they haven't been speaking nicely to them in general, but now's the time they've got to really have them dig down and, you know, talk about the integrity of what they're doing out there, because they've had opportunities here and, you know, great situation there on the change of possession, getting great field position, and on first down they lose 10 yards on the sack.
And
so
Penn,
you can't let that happen.
Penn came into the season with a very, very young and green offensive line. Really their only true returning starters were Matt Schaefer and Chris Kowalczyk on the right side of the line. They had three brand new starters, and they've never really once shown their greenness, but today, and hey, six games in the season, can't really chalk it up to inexperience, but they've now surrendered 8 sacks on the season after yielding 9 all of last year. So Penn has it second and 22, their own 44, shotgun set, Irvin quarterback, slot far left, Lawrence near right. A short drop for Irvin, and he connects with Lawrence across midfield, back down to the Bulldogs' 47-yard line.
Well, they picked up about 8 on that on the little turnout, the 3-step drop throw to Marcus Lawrence. And again, that works to Roberts' advantage because he's not dropping deep and allowing that pass rush to get to him. And it's another one of those plays. I run it until they stop it.
Penn in the first quarter, Hench, 12 offensive plays for 18 yards, 14 offensive plays for the Bulldogs for 56. 3rd and 11 for the Quakers. From the Yale 48-yard line, 7-0 Bulldogs, slot far left again. Lawrence once again is near right. Irvin takes the shotgun snap, and again, bodies jumping around early along the line of scrimmage, and this one appears once again to be against Penn.
Well, there's something wrong there. Luis Ruffalo or Robert Irvin, there was a disconnect because the ball wasn't snapped, and you know, there were probably 3 or 4 Quakers who started to move before the ball was snapped. And, you know, normally they don't all make that mistake. Something was wrong with the exchange out of that shotgun look.
Penn has looked very anxious on the offensive side of the ball as that repels them to their own 48-yard line, making it 3rd and 16 with 30 seconds gone by in the second quarter. Slot far left, shotgun set, Irvin, a deep drop to throw, steps up strong, lobs it near right, and diving and unable to make the play on the catch is Marcus Lawrence. So once again, the Quakers are going to have to put it away.
Well, that time they gave him pretty good protection. Roberts did a nice job of hanging in the pocket and stepping up and throwing. Marcus Lawrence was trying to find an open space between two defenders down on that right sideline, and Roberts threw it on his outside shoulder, probably the only place he could have thrown it. without risking an interception, and Marcus just couldn't get turned around in time to make the catch. So another offensive series that didn't go anywhere, and Kyle Olson's going to punt again.
From his own 35, that's where Olson stands, and back to return is Gio Cristogiolu. A low snap taken by Olson. Great hang time as Cristogiolu comes up to his own 15, and he gets past Mago a second time. He fumbles the football. It's loose on the far left side, up around the Bulldogs 24. It's still free. It skies high in the air, and who has it? It is the Bulldogs.
Wow. That thing was flying all over the place. It looked like, you know, three or four Quakers had an early shot at it, Brian. Apparently the ball is still squiggling around in there. Somebody must have grabbed a hand and then flipped it up in the air. And one of the Yale players managed to come down with it. So
it was reserve running back Brandon Scott who stuck with it. And it seemed like, as you said, Hans, the ball was grounded and they were fighting for it on the turf. But then it just kind of ejected straight up into the air as if on a spring, and that allowed Scott to snatch it and give the Bulldogs the ball for a first and 10 at their own 23. Under center, it is Brooke Hart. Slot far right. The tailback is Mike McLeod. He gets the call, batters his way up the gut, and he gets no more than about two. And now there's some signaling on the Penn sideline as that got loose.
He did one of those spin moves as he got hit a couple of times there, and somehow the ball popped out, but they were fortunate to recover, so things getting pretty sloppy here, Brian.
Little butterfingers for the Bulldogs. They've lost seven fumbles this season as they got about a yard on that carry up at their own 24. Second and nine, Yale. They slide it now near left as they move it from right to left. McLeod the tailback. They have Jarrett Drake is the receiver, far right. Play action under pressure is Hart, and he's hammered and brought back down for a loss and a sack by Penn's defense at his own 15. He'll lose about nine. In on the play, Joe Gonaprow, another big play.
Well, they came with a couple blitzers that time and put early pressure on Hart, and it worked effectively. They got him as he came out of the play action fake. Good coverage downfield by the secondary.
7-0, Bulldogs on top, 12:50 until the half, and we will hear from the National Defensive Player of the Week, Britton Ertman. Our halftime interview also go around the ancient eight on the Avner's out-of-town scoreboard. Starting the long 19 for the Bulldogs, their own 15 is where the ball is spotted. Trips near left, and McLeod, he splits through two tackles across the 22 to 22 for seven, but not nearly enough for the Bulldogs offense as once again, Penn's defense digs in and forces the Bulldogs to punt it away. Man, it's almost tense. It seems like one of those things that, I mean, they're not able to push the right buttons now as Penn's offense, but maybe if they just got something going to give them a little bit of confidence.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is they haven't had a big play offensively probably since Villanova.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, a big play, the kind that takes you out of your seat.
Win to return at his own 40, backs up to his own 33, to his own 25. A great punt by Matthew. He darts far left and room to run across the 40. Stiff arms his way out of a tackle with a 45. Ducks under another until he's pile driven on the far left sideline by the punter, Tavon Manny. With 11:44 remaining in the first half, there's a timeout on the field. The Quakers trail it to Yale, 7-0. We'll take a timeout as well. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Nobody does Philly sports better than Comcast Sportsnet. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10 and catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sportsnet, nobody does Philly sports better.
Penn fans, it's not too late to purchase your Penn football season tickets for only $80. Season tickets include a reserved seat for all five home games, a Franklin Field mini stadium replica, a media guide, and more. You can purchase tickets by calling the Penn Athletics ticket office at 215-898-6151 or logging on to the brand new PennAthletics.com. Don't miss out on an exciting season of Penn football at historic Franklin Field. We'll see you there.
And it's hard to believe, Hench Murray, that only two more home games remain at Franklin Field for the Penn Quakers in this 2008 season as they have The Brown Bears in what could be a very big one. Well, it will be a big one regardless of what happens in this game because the Quakers will still be able to control their own destiny. They have the Bears for a homecoming meeting next Saturday at noon. And then the final home game they have is against the Harvard Crimson on Saturday, November 15th, the defending Ivy champs. And here is Kyle Olsen at quarterback for the Penn Quakers. He's appeared in all six games, and he played the most series of his career in a single game last Saturday to start the second half, three series in the third quarter. Penn has a first and 10, their own 46. Slot near right. Durham Farrell at the high snap, giving to Blackman on the draw. He mushes his way through a hole on the left side across the 50, down to the Bulldogs, 46. So setting up the run, Hitch. Setting up the run.
Well, this is that shotgun series we talked about. That's phase one of it. The inside hand off to Blackman that time did a nice job, as you said, of kind of knifing his way through a hole at the line of scrimmage and then kind of squirmed his way up to pick up eight total yards. Good start.
Kyle Olsen, the junior college transfer out of Fullerton College in California. He's under center, dotting the eye in the backfield is Bradford Blackman. They motion Kuntz far left to near right. Durham is near right. And they give the handoff to Blackman. A good block as he gets under the 45, down to around the 43-yard line. And that should be enough for a first down for Penn after several three-and-outs for the Quakers.
Well, you know, you wouldn't think you'd get excited about a two- or three-yard game, but I'm excited about that because it is a first down, and it is a little bit momentum that maybe they have something to build on here.
Yale's defense tops in the Ivy League along with Penn, allowing just 81.5 yards rushing per game. Shotgun set for the Quakers from the Bulldogs 44 on first and 10. There's a slot far left, and it is Reiner near right, and they hand off to Blackman again, and he's bottled up just beyond the line of scrimmage at around the 41. Well, it's a hard-fought three, as they'll give him a nice spot. So Blackman getting it done on the ground, and this, at some point, would look to set up a play-action pass or perhaps a bootleg.
Well, the other thing they can set up is the option out of that, and you have a quarterback now who can actually put some pressure on that defensive end, so they're back in the gun again. Let's see what they do.
Second and 8-10 from the Bulldogs 41, trailing 7-0, trips far left, one near right, and Olsen looks left, fires left, and it's a very heated pass that pops off the fingertips of Matt Appenfelder.
Well, they had the three receivers out there to the wide side of the field. Appenfelder was the inside, the middle of the three, and Kyle just stood up and really winged it out there. It hit him in the hand. It probably should have been caught. I mean, it was coming, but it probably still should have been caught. And he did have a couple of blockers in front of him, but, of course, if you don't catch the football, the blockers don't accomplish a whole lot.
Third and 8 for Penn, the Bulldogs 41, their deepest penetration this afternoon. Slot far left, Reinert is near right, shotgun set, Olsen at quarterback with Mirren to his left. Olsen takes the snap, drops back, he's going to run, and has room, far left, looks downfield, pumps across the 40 to the 35, and on his effort, he gets a first down for the Penn Quakers, and that causes the red and blue to jump around a little bit on the far side of the field.
Well, that's a dimension that Kyle Olsen has the potential to bring. He's got good quickness and agility. He's a good athlete. That time, again, on the kind of bootleg out of the shotgun, he ended up rolling left, and the receivers were pretty well covered. He decided, well, I'm going to try to make it on my own, and he did. So another first down.
Kyle Olsen came into this game 11 of 21 on a season completion for a percentage of 52%. He's 0 for 1 today, first and 10-10. Yale's 33, and on the draw it goes to Blackman. Blackman tries to burrow his way through a hole on the left side, and he gets to around the 31 after churning out a hard-fought two. That'll bring up second and 8. Well, there is some sync to this series on offense for the Quakers.
Well, they've continued as the first segment of that option series, giving the ball to Blackman, and Kyle is making a fake afterwards. Eventually, we're going to see him end up with the football.
Second and 8 for Penn. Olsen, his first series under center for the Quakers. In the slot, near right, Kyle Durham, the wide receiver, is Reiner. They motion Kuntz from right to left. Play action, good protection. Olsen, the lefty, looks over the middle, and it's off the fingertips of Jason Muren.
Intended for 44, Jason
Muren. Just a little bit out of his reach. He got one hand out there on the ball, but didn't have enough reach to make the catch.
And it seems like the Quaker quarterbacks, whether it be Irvin or Olsen, just kind of settle it down a little bit. Let the game come to you as Olsen, on his first two passes, they've been within catching range for the Quakers, but not as much on target as perhaps the receivers would like.
Yeah, I agree. A little bit edgy.
Third and eight for the Quakers from the Bulldogs, 31. A slot to either side of the field. Red and blue from left to right. Olsen takes the snap, drives back, looks over the middle, lobs it deep down the sideline, and then Kyle Durham had to come back on that route to break it up and knock it out of the hands of Yale defensive back Adam Money.
Well, he was trying to streak Kyle Durham down the right sideline to see if they could get six out of it. The ball a little bit underthrown. As you said, Money actually had better position to make the catch than Durham. Kyle did the right thing, came back and played defense and batted it down.
And on fourth and eight, the Quakers are going to go for it with them facing the wind. They would not like to put Andrew Sampson on the field for this. But or could Kyle Olsen punt it here because he's in a shotgun set. And on fourth and eight from the Bulldogs 31, he just kind of squib kicks it away. It rolls under the 15, under the 10, under the 5. And the red and blue are going to down it at the Bulldogs 2. And that's why Kyle Olsen can provide such a dangerous weapon for Penn.
Yeah, that time he just kind of hit a sidewinder. He hit it really with a low kick, and I guess because he wanted to make sure it didn't go out of the end zone, he couldn't hit it too hard. It's the kind of kick, Brian, that actually could get blocked at the line of scrimmage because the trajectory was so flat, but it has a great outcome for Penn as it rolls dead about the three-yard line, and they continue to dominate field position even though they're down 7-0 on the scoreboard.
There's 8:21 to go in the opening half. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
We're all concerned about the cost of health care, and there's a company that's made a serious commitment to doing something about it. That's United Healthcare, and they provide plans designed to offer more for the money. United Healthcare makes it easy to get the care you need when and where you need it. Their plans provide access to more than 560,000 healthcare professionals nationally, including more than 21,000 in Pennsylvania alone. Their consumer-driven health plans, or CDHPS, cost less money up front, but they don't give you less. These plans come with online tools and wellness programs that can help you get and stay healthy and save on your coverage. And as a United Healthcare member, you receive discounts on things that aren't covered by traditional insurance, like LASIK, health club memberships, and more. United Healthcare, healing healthcare. Together, find out more at unitedhealthcare.com. United Healthcare Services Incorporated. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates.
8 minutes and 21 seconds remain in the first half at the Yale Bowl on the campus of Yale in New Haven, Connecticut. It's a 7-0 Bulldogs lead, but their backs are against their own goal line as they start off from their own 3.
Maybe we need a high snap here like we got last week.
A little break of some sort to give some life and some points to Penn as their offense really has encountered problems for the second game in a row. Hart under center for the Bulldogs. McLeod is the tailback. One receiver, far right. The fullback is in motion, and that is Sweat. They give it to McLeod. McLeod high steps and hurdles a tackle left side. He gets up to the 5-yard line, a pickup of an important 2 to give the Bulldogs some breathing room there with their heels against their own end zone.
Well, it's so nice to see Tyson Morgel out there again. One of the tri-captains of this year's team who got banged up a couple of weeks ago and missed a couple of games. He does such a good job, and he plays in so many different positions in that secondary. That time he's on the short side corner, and he saw the play coming his way, and he did just what he's supposed to do. He went, crashed the line of scrimmage, took on the lead blocker, created a pile, and you know that's what really slowed McLeod down, allowed the other Penn defenders to make the tackle.
Second and 8 for the Bulldogs. They're on 5-yard line is where the ball is spotted. Wide to the far right side for the Bulldogs. They have Gio Cristogiolo, and Hart under pressure gets the ball away as he was hitting his own end zone, and he completes it to A.J. Hossie, the tight end, across the 5 up to the 8, a pickup of 3 to make it 3rd and a manageable 5 for the Bulldogs.
Well played by Mark Washington, the safety, who saw that little bootleg coming and just latched right on to Hossie and made the tackle just as he caught the football. So He picked up about three, but Yale still confronted here with a third and five deep in their own territory at their own 9-yard line.
We have yet to hear, Hench, from Britton Ertman today. He's coming off a contest in which he had six tackles, one for a loss, a pair of picks, a fumble recovery, and a return on that for a touchdown. Third and five for the Bulldogs, their own 8-yard line, under center is Hart with a slot near left. The flag flies, a long lob pass down the near left sideline. Incomplete. We'll wait for the call on the penalty for the Bulldogs. Intended for Sheffield on the toss there.
That ball was thrown way over his head. The penalty is against Yale. The Penn's going to decline this one.
And once again, 10 with prime real estate in terms of field position. And there's 6:47 to go until the intermission comes, and Penn trails 7-2-0. There's a timeout on the field as the squad set themselves up. As Yale trying to bring personnel out onto the turf. And Hench, this is the first grass surface that the Quakers are playing on this season. And actually, they went down to Bauer Practice Field on campus this past Thursday to get a sense of what that was like. Tom Manny stands about 8 yards deep in his own end zone to boot this one away. And Chris Wynn is just shy of his own 50 at the 47. Manty steps up and he gets an end-over-end punt off that hits at his own 45, and it's gobbled up by Wynn, and Wynn gets out of one tackle, and now he makes his way back up the middle, and only about a yard on that return, but it's better than what appeared to be a loss, as one of the gunners for the Bulldogs, Brian Stevenson, was up there with the initial pressure.
Well, that was the kind of low end-over-end kick, as you said, and he couldn't catch it in the air, but fortunately for Chris Wynn, it took a big hop. He snatched it and put it away, tried to pull a couple of moves left and right there without a whole lot of success, but added maybe a yard or two after he got back to where he took possession. So Penn, again, at the 48, their own 48-yard line, could not be asking for any better field position than they've had the last three or four times.
And with 6:35 to go, hence 7-0 is the score in favor of Yale. It could be one of those situations where if Penn could come up with something and produce points before going into the half, that could obviously carry them into the third quarter and just kind of forget about their struggles at the outset of this game.
Well, you know, in the past games against Yale, it's come down to failure on the part of the kicking game that really cost them the games in overtime. This year, Andrew Sampson has been so good in kicking field goals and extra points, but they haven't even gotten close enough for him to take a try. So, you know, should they be able to move the ball down the field a little bit here and get into field goal position, what you said is actually right on, Brian, that they need to get some points here before the half.
And as you mentioned that game last year, we talked about it a little bit earlier, 26-20, it went to Yale in triple overtime at Franklin Field on the 20th of October, and it was exhilarating watching that game. Unfortunately, the wrong result. A 1-yard touchdown dash by Mike McClatt to the Bulldogs in front 26-20 following a failed 2-point conversion attempt. Penn then appeared to tie it on a toss, remember, from Joe Sandberg to Nick Sisler on 4th and goal from the 1-yard line, but an eligible man downfield, and that resulted in an incomplete pass from Brian Walker intended for Braden Lepisto, and it was Gerald on the defense for Yale in that one, and that wrapped up the game for the Bulldogs. 1st and 10, Penn, their own 48. Olsen remains at quarterback. He rolls far left, fires on the run, and it is nearly picked off. It is nearly picked off by Travis Henry, who drops back into coverage, even though he's a defensive end.
He was looking for Marcus Lawrence. It was a little two-man flood pattern after the left flat and a little bit deeper. That time Lawrence was shallow, and there was a defensive end, or it was one of the linebackers who dropped in underneath. Just an ill-advised throw that time by Kyle Olsen.
2nd and 10 for the Quakes from their own 48-yard line as this passing attack tries to really settle itself down. Slot far left, and it is Lawrence near right. The tailback is DiMaggio. A high snap. It's an option, and Olsen doesn't fool the Bulldogs as he is driven back and pile driven into the ground at his own 44. A loss of 4.
Travis Henry
was there for the hit.
I think that's the kind of thing that is frustrating to those of us who watch the game. That was a down-the-line option that Penn has not shown all year. He's got DiMaggio as a tailback, and Olsen just takes a snap and moves left to try to confront the defensive end. It's not set up off that shotgun look that we talked about.
That'll set up third and a very challenging 14 for the Quakers from their own 44. Shotgun set, Olsen at quarterback, trips far left. They have Lawrence near right, 7-0 Yale. 5:44 to go, Olsen takes the snap, drops back, rolls far left under heavy pressure, throws on the run. He completes it to Kyle Durham, who is secured and stopped by Money along the far left sideline, about 8 yards short of a necessary first down. Kyle Olsen will remain on the field to punt it away.
Another thing that you notice, that at least I did that time, is when Olsen starts to scramble to his left, which he did a pretty good job of staying out of trouble, the Penn receivers down there don't make adjustments to try to find an open spot to help him out. And that's just a given. That's automatic.
Gio Christodoulou is back for a turn at his own 10 between the hashes. Kyle Olsen at his own 39 to punt it away from left to right. It bounces on the turf, and Olsen fields it well, and now the punt stops at the 25 of the Bulldogs. Now it rolls on. It takes a nice 10 bounce. It'll be down inside the 20. Another one for Kyle Olsen. The final spot is at the 15. So now Penn's defense will have to make sure that it continues doing what it has done and accomplished throughout this afternoon, which is not allowing the Bulldogs to really get anything going and keep this one within striking range for the offense as it tries to find its way. This is just something that, I mean, Penn doesn't have any choice. They have to fight through it. They've tried two different quarterbacks and still nothing getting done. First and 10 Bulldogs, their own 16 is where the ball is spotted. Flat far right, under center it is Hart. They motion Hossie. Far right to near left, tailback McLeod, and McLeod gets the carry. Room to work with on the left side, and that hole is shut off very quickly by the interior of Penn's defense as McLeod gets about, give him a 3.
And your man Britt Nerkman was in on that one, too, and he said we haven't heard too much from him today, but we're going to hear from him at halftime. Is that correct?
Indeed we will, Hench, okay. And I asked him this question, and I will pose it to you as well, and I'm racking my mind. How can he be the National Defensive Player of the Week? Without the Defensive Player of the Week in the Ivy League, can't get a shake from his own conference.
That's a good question.
2nd and 7 Yale, they're on 19, under center Hart. And he hands off to McLeod, maneuvering left, and he is denied by Jake Lucco, who pushes him back under the 15 to around the 14, a loss on the carry.
Well, I'll tell you, Jake Lucco is having an all-Ivy day today. He's all over the field. That time, again, did the perfect linebacker technique, just scraped right into the hole and got a hold of McLeod and took him down for a loss. We certainly called his name quite a bit today.
3 minutes and 43 seconds remaining in the second quarter. 7-0 Yale Bulldogs with the lead. The lone score converted following the 13th interception of the season by the Bulldogs defense. Shotgun set on 3rd and 12. Lawrence 14. Hart takes the snap. The southpaw slings it far right, and he hits the intended man across the 13, and it's Patrick Seddon who gets up to the 21-yard line, a pickup of 7. Chris Wynn with the stop right there. Chris Wynn coming off a contest last week. We had a career-high 6 tackles against Columbia. They were all solo stops as well. Still plenty of time to work with as they will put Marcus Lawrence in to return this punt as Chris Wynn just made the tackle right there. Lawrence last year, 21 punt returns for 113 yards, and Manti gets a high punt up, and Lawrence takes it. He calls for a fair catch at the last minute, and he will be putting it at the 36, which is where the Red and Blue offense will take over.
You know, coaches are screaming that Marcus Lawrence didn't get his hand up soon enough and high enough, but the official says no dice, he's going to get possession. This is actually, in the great scheme of things, still very good field position at their own 36-yard line compared to what they've had. We don't have to say it's only average field position, but the Quakers, as you said, they have 2 minutes and 50 seconds and 3 timeouts to see if they can work this thing down the field and get some points. Let's go.
Kyle Olsen starting off from his own 36-yard line. He is under center. A flat far left. The tailback is Bradford Blackman. They motion Kyle Durham near right. Olsen takes the snap, retreats behind his 30 over the middle. Connection to Josh Koontz. The third catch of the day for Josh Koontz. That one goes for about 5 yards, and that'll make it second and a feasible 5 for Penn with 2 minutes and 35 seconds to go in quarter number 2.
Penn is working this drive into the wind, which is blowing to the north here at the Yale Bowl. Andrew Sampson has been very impressive this season, connecting on 8 straight. Olsen under center, tailback Blackman. He drops back, looks over the middle, and Kyle Durham hauls it in for a first down. Over the midfield mark to the Bulldogs, 49, a pickup of 10 for the Quakers.
Well, there's some wisdom to all this. They're throwing just a short stop passes right over the middle. Pretty easy to complete. You know, the risk, of course, is that you keep the ball in play. But I think making the completion is probably more important than getting to the sideline in this case.
Olsen under center, slot far left, tailback Blackman. Olsen to throw again to the far left side. A nice screen to Kuntz, and Kuntz is leveled. He lost the football, but they're going to say he was down by contact, and Kuntz would have been able to recover for a pen.
He took a heck of a hit that time right in the side, knocked the football right out of his hands as he was going down. I think they got a break there.
And that's Paul Rice, a cornerback, coming up to level a big hit below the waist on Josh Kuntz. A minute 47 to go in the second quarter, 7-0 Yale. We'll take a quick timeout on the Penn Sports Network, 990 WNTP. Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker ePass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com. A minute and 47 seconds to go in the second quarter. The Yale Bulldogs lead the Penn Quakers 7-0, and while Penn's offense has had its problems here in the first half, at some point you would expect somehow the Quakers to score some points, because they have scored in 105 consecutive contests, and that is the third longest streak in Ivy League history. Brown holds the record at 123, which remains active, and Yale also has a 105-game streak as well, and those are the two teams kicking off in this contest. Penn at 2-0 in the Ancient Eight slate, tied atop the standings with Brown, and the Bulldogs 1-1 trying to get back into it. Penn started with Robert Irvin as its quarterback, but they have turned the offense over to Kyle Olsen. After the game last Saturday against Columbia, when asked why Kyle Olsen saw extended action in the third quarter with 3 series against the Lions, Al Bagnoli responded that that was the designated set point in the game, that Kyle was going to see that action, but no doubt about it, hence today, it's clear that they want to see what Kyle Olsen can do to try and spark things here for the Quakers.
Well, he's got a minute and 47 seconds. He's going to have a great opportunity. Let's see.
He's had a shotgun slot near right. He takes the snap, short drop, looks right, over the middle, off the hands of Tyler Fisher. He drops the ball there. It was a miss. Multiple coverage there for the Bulldogs, but it was put on the right spot by Olsen. That'll bring up second and around 9 for Penn. I'll make that 3rd and 9 as the scoreboard is slow to work for the Bulldogs, 48. A big 3rd and 9 here for Penn with a minute 44 left in the first half. Olsen takes the snap, drops back. Good patience over the middle and hauling it in for a first down for the Quakers is Tyler Fisher as he bounces back.
Curl in at just enough yards to pick up the first down, and a well-thrown ball. Nice concentration by Tyler Fisher to make the catch.
A minute 35 now to go in the second quarter. Penn seeking its first points of the game. Olsen steps up, launches left. Reeling it in is Marcus Lawrence right in front of the stick. They say he went out of bounds at the Bulldogs' 26-yard line. And that'll be just shy of a first down. That'll bring up second and about 1. This is the farthest Penn has gotten into Bulldogs territory as the timeout is taken by the Yale Bulldogs. With a minute 28 to go in the first half, we'll take one as well. Quakers trailing Yale, 7-0. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP, the Penn Sports Network. Penn fans, it's not too late to purchase your Penn football season tickets for only $80. Season tickets include a reserved seat for all 5 home games, a Franklin Field mini stadium replica, a media guide, and more. You can purchase tickets by calling the Penn Athletics ticket office at 215-898-6151 or logging on to the brand new PennAthletics.com. Don't miss out on an exciting season of Penn football at historic Franklin Field. We'll see you there.
Hampshire.
It's a hazy, gray, overcast Saturday in New Haven, Connecticut, as the Penn Quakers are slugging this one out with the Yale Bulldogs, and they trail 7-0 with a minute 28 remaining in the first half. And the red and blue, though, they will have a 2nd-and-1 from the Yale 26, and that is as far as the Quakes have gotten today, and they have been stalled every time. And now that you're talking about feasibly makeable range for the sophomore place kicker for Penn, Andrew Sampson, if they get it perhaps a little bit farther down than the Bulldogs end.
Well, he's kicking into the wind, as you mentioned before, and they got to get they got to pick up a little more yardage here.
2nd and a very short one for Penn. A slot to each side of the field. Shotgun set. Olsen takes the snap, drops back. He rolls far left, throws it high and out of bounds. Intended to do that as the pressure was coming from the right side of the defensive line for the Yale Bulldogs. The Penn Quakers trying to notch 4 wins in a row. And it has been a while since the Quakers achieved that.
You can hear the Penn coaches in the booth 2 down from us saying, put Bradford in there. He's in there now out of this shotgun look. Let's see.
Again, a slot right and left. Olsen, the quarterback, takes a high snap, brings it in for Blackman, and Blackman turns the corner right side across the 20 into the red zone for the first time today for the red and blue, and he gets to the Yale 18. Spot that at the 17. 9 yards on a big 3rd-and-1 conversion for the Quakers.
Nice block in that field that time by David Worsted, Kyle Durham, the 2 wide receivers. That's how he got the first down.
Similar formation for the red and blue. Shotgun set. Olsen, the quarterback, slot right and left. Penn moving from left to right. Olsen takes the snap under pressure over the middle, and there was no one there except for Yale defensive back Steven Santoro, and he nearly came off with a devastating interception right there. And Santoro, he is very good at picking off passes. He has 3 on the season.
And Kyle Olsen got hurt on that play. There were 2 people coming in and a cornerback from the left side, and Jason Marin was the only back there. He had to pick one or the other, and Kyle Olsen got drilled. Probably should not have thrown the football or should have thrown it over the goalpost, but he's coming out of the game. I think they took the timeout. No, I guess Penn took the timeout, so technically he doesn't have to come out of the game.
The red and blue have 1 timeout remaining. The Bulldogs have 2 at their disposal with 63 seconds to go in the first stanza.
But they're going to put Robert Irvin in.
It'll be 2nd-and-10 for Penn from the Yale 17. And the Bulldogs defense, very aggressive and led by Rick Flanders, who prior to Yale the past 12 seasons, he was a defensive backs coach at Penn with titles in 93 and 94 under Al Bagnoli, one of 3 Yale assistants to have spent time at Penn. Shotgun set for Robert Irvin. The fullback standing to his right is Jason Mirren. A slot right and left. 63 seconds to go in the first half. Here comes the blitz. Irvin calmly has the ball thrown, but it's batted down over the middle by Bobby Hebert, the reigning Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week. And that'll bring up 3rd-and-10 for Penn.
Well, that could have really been an interception. Again, Penn's running that double twins look, and it was the inside receiver. I'm not sure which one it was, Kyle Durham or not, but Robert just stood up and threw to a spot, but he obviously didn't see Hebert drifting underneath that.
Kyle Olsen back at quarterback, slot right and left, 3rd-and-10 Penn from the L-17. Olsen rolls left. He throws it towards the front corner of the end zone, and it's incomplete, intended for David Wirth. Good coverage back there by Paul Rice for the Bulldogs. Now Andrew Sampson will come on, having connected on 8 consecutive field goal tries for the Penn Quakers. And Andrew Sampson, he is 1st in the Ivy League with 8 field goals made and connecting at a percent of 88.9. And this one will be an attempt for Andrew Sampson of 34 yards. He will be kicking in the wind, kicking south out of the hold of Kyle Durham, as he tries for Penn's 1st points this afternoon. Here's the snap. The hold is down. The kick is up, and it is
No good. Only one of the officials made the signal, and it was the one on the far side of the field.
Well, the ball was on the right hash, and he's kicking to our right. So he was also kicking into a wind that's really blowing into his face a little bit, but also from his right to his left, and it just went left of the goalpost that time. Certainly had the distance, but that's a disappointing final outcome after that decent offensive series.
The Quakers remain scoreless at 7-0 Yale with 49 seconds to go in the first half, and hence as we take a look at the American flag on the west side of the field, it seems like the wind is now picking up a little bit to the northwest. And that is where the ball tailed there. The handoff goes to Galvez as he tries to squeak through some room on the left side, but gets nothing. Stops the line of scrimmage, which was the 20-yard line. That'll bring up second and 10 as the clock continues to move at 35 seconds left in half number one. Well, it has been an extremely frustrating first half for Penn's offensive unit.
Looks like Yale's just going to let this run out. Probably not a bad idea.
20 seconds now to go in the second quarter, as this one will wind down as both teams exit their respective sides of the field. For the Penn Quakers, a commendable showing, as you would expect, on the defensive side of the ball. The offense needs to find a spark as they trail 7-0, the Yale Bulldogs heading into the half. And hence, we thought that perhaps Kyle Olsen would start this game. He did not. The nod went to Robert Irvin. Kyle was brought in, but the outcome has been the same for both. And now you got to wonder, where do you start heading into the second stanza?
Consistency, consistency, consistency. We've talked about it for, this is our sixth week. And we just, somehow, the Quakers haven't managed to put that together offensively. And each week we speculate about the quality of the defense. I don't think we have to speculate this week. This Yale defense is very, very good. But even given that nod to their effectiveness, you still have to be able to manage to move the football, and you have to manage to make decent throws when you have an opportunity. And as I said earlier in the broadcast, they have not had big plays all season.
Yeah.
You know, and somehow they got to figure out a way to do that. And I don't have the answer. It's easy for us to sit up here and make comments about what they're not doing, but we certainly don't know what's going on in the kids' head, and we don't know what's going on whether they're executing what they've been taught. So you have to take what we say with put it into a certain context, I think.
And, you know, Hitch, a lot of people like to pinpoint the quarterback and say that's where the offense starts, and that is certainly a valid and legitimate point, but one of the things that Coach Bagnoli discussed this past week in talking about his quarterback situation is that, yes, there has been some inconsistency there, but maybe a right throw is made sometimes, and then there's a drop pass. We saw that this afternoon so far in the first half. Perhaps the protection isn't there. The blocks aren't made. We also saw that as well. So Penn trying to even things out. This has been a very uneven group offensively, as solid as the defense has been. So Bill Schmitz, in his second season as offensive coordinator for the Quakers, will get down on the dry erase board and try to draw up a solution to get Penn some points heading into the second half. It's a 7-0 Yale lead as we enter halftime, and we start up the United Healthcare halftime report on the other side. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Fans, if you're looking for a cheesesteak in University City, there's no better place than Abner's Cheesesteaks, a neighborhood tradition. Located at 38th and Chestnut Street and abnerscheesesteaks.com. Abner's provides a full menu of sandwiches and also is available to cater your next event. For more information, visit their website at www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. Abner's Cheesesteaks, a proud sponsor of Penn Football.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker ePass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Whether it's powering up the video board at historic Franklin Field, the radio you tune in to listen to Penn football on the Penn Sports Network, or the TV you watch the Quakers on, Pico is an integral part of the Penn football experience. Pico delivers to more than 1.6 million customers and natural gas to 460,000 customers in southeastern Pennsylvania. Pico is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. For more information, log on to exeloncorp.com. Make the most of your time when you travel on Amtrak's Excella Express for leisure or business. You'll get everything you need to work or relax, like conference tables for holding meetings, a quiet car to catch up on sleep, outlets to recharge your laptops and cell phones, and a bistro bar so you can grab a bite to eat or enjoy a refreshing beverage. To book your next trip on Amtrak, call 1-800-USA-RAIL or visit Amtrak.com.
It's the Quaker Halftime Report, presented by United Healthcare. United Healthcare. More options, better choices, greater flexibility. With audio highlights from the first 30 minutes, feature interviews, and a full stat recap. Once again, with Hench Murray, Brian Seltzer.
Penn's offense unable to get into a first half groove, and because of that, they have a big bagel up on the scoreboard here at the Yale Bowl at the Class of 1954 field. Yale, meanwhile, has seven, and they lead it by that touchdown tally. The Penn Quakers, their offense has been a little bit of a funk the past 2 weeks as they try to right that ship. They rotated their quarterback, starting with Robert Urban to begin the game, and then Kyle Olsen came on in the second quarter, so he did a decent job working a quick offense for Penn, but they were not able to notch their first points of the afternoon on a field goal attempt of 34 yards by Andrew Sampson. So Andrew Sampson now on the season is 8 of 10 on his tries in terms of place kicking. But defensively, as you can expect, Penn's defense has been flat out dominant and has kept this in this game because the Bulldogs scored their lone touchdown on the 13th interception that their defense procured from Penn, and that set them up to the 18-yard line, and 3 plays later, there was a 7-yard touchdown pass from the quarterback, Brooke Hart, to his tight end and leading receiver, John Sheffield. But the defense has been good, and last week it was great as well, as Penn was able to hang on for a 15-10 victory over Columbia at Franklin Field to improve their mark to 2-0 in the Ivy League. And perhaps the most pivotal piece of that defense for Ray Priori and the Red and Blue last week was Britton Irvin. Britton, the senior safety and nickel defensive back for the Penn Quakers, came up with 6 tackles, 1 for a loss, 2 picks, a fumble recovery, and he was stopped 2 yards shy of the end zone for a fumble recovery for a touchdown. So he did it all, and because of that, he was tabbed National Defensive Player of the Week. And earlier this week, I sat down with the Penn safety for a little chat that we'll bring to you now here on the United Healthcare Halftime Report.
Britton, I've been racking my mind about this, and I need you to help me understand. How can you be National Defensive Player of the Week, yet not the Defensive Player of the Week in the Ivy League?
I honestly can't tell you. The guy from Yale had a great game, 15 tackles and a fumble recovery for a touchdown. There's really no explanation I can give anyone. I was very excited to hear when Mike DiMaggio called me up and told me I was the National Defensive Player of the Week, so it was an exciting evening, even though I was a little bummed during the day that I hadn't received the awards for the Ivy League. But
well, you're pretty modest, but you did have an unreal output as I looked down. 2 picks, a fumble recovery, 2 passes knocked down, 6 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss. What possessed you in that game?
I think everything comes down to preparation, and I have to say our defense is one of the most prepared defenses in the country week in and week out, and we got guys that are disciplined to do their job. Each and every snap counts, so, I trust that the guys behind me are going to make the plays they need to make, and, it kept me in the correct position out on the field, and, maybe they're staying away from our corners. We got, shut down corners that people don't really like to throw to, so I think he ended up making some check downs that allowed me to really make some plays and, get my hand on the ball.
Did you think you were going to be able to make it into the end zone in that fumble recovery?
I really did. I didn't think anyone was behind me. The running back was able to get out quickly and take me down. I admit I'm not the fastest player out there, but I like to think we have a very fast and quick defense that reacts very well to the ball. So that's, that put me in a lot of good positions, was our ability to read the plays that were coming at us and make, split-second decisions that put us in the right place. So
Ray Priori's defense is always staunch, but you enter today's game against Yale, you're ranked fourth in FCS in total defense and fifth in pass defense. How much pride do you guys as a defense take in those rankings?
You know, I think the defense has more pride than, you know, any organization I've been a part of, I have to say. We know we got good players, but at the same token, we play like we had everything to prove every time we step out on the field. And that's what I love about this defense. Every single week, Coach P is fired up to get us ready for that next game, and he's got all these great new ideas to shut down their run game or their pass game, and, you know, you better believe we've got some great stuff for Yale coming out this week, so I'm excited.
Speaking with Penn senior safety Britton Ertman, also the National Defensive Player of the Week, you're playing a reserve role this year, but you come out and your level of output is so high. What enables you to come out to the bench and be so effective and play at a high level?
Well, we actually run a high volume of nickel defense, which is with our two nickels on the field. And so it's sort of a reserve role, but at the same time, we run about two-thirds of the time with that defense out on the field. It really gives some of the DBs who aren't in the starting four shell a chance to get on the field and make some plays. And when they start to put extra receivers on the field, we get some faster guys out there to make plays in the ball. So I've loved playing the nickel position. I got moved there as a sophomore from free safety and really haven't looked back since.
What do you like about it?
I like that I get to play both the run and the pass, and I get to blitz. Not a lot of guys get to do a whole lot of blitzing, and that's one thing I've had a lot of fun with these last couple of years. Get a chance to make plays when the running backs are coming at you, but also get to drop into coverage and get some of those interceptions that are so highly valued. So
what is your preference, a pick or a sack?
Always a pick. You can't beat a turnover. You know, I was fortunate to come up with two of them in this previous game. It really doesn't, you know, gives our offense the opportunity to put more points on the board when, you know, instead of just dropping in for a loss and making a punt where we get the ball an extra 40 yards downfield, you take the ball away and run it back a few yards. You know, you give your offense a very short field position. And with the way our red zone offense has been playing this year, we know it's going to translate into points.
You've got yourself, you've got Chris Wynn, Tyson Mogul, Jordan Manning, Josh Powers now emerging, Jonathan Salinger at an interception as well. What's it like playing this defensive backfield?
You know, I just feel very comfortable. I would say 2 years ago when we were sophomores, we had a very, very young secondary, a lot of sophomores out there. I think we had four starting sophomores my sophomore year in the Penn secondary. We've all just evolved over the past couple of years, and it's come to a place now where if someone needs to take a break, we know that we got a backup who is as good as the guy that was on the field. So there's no doubt in anyone's mind that the Penn secondary is not only deep, but that the guys that are coming off the bench and the guys that are on the field are going to make those plays that they need to make. You know, John Salinger came in the game a couple weeks ago and had a great read for an interception. And, you know, he wasn't, you know, expecting to come out on the field and be in that position right in the red zone defense, but he came out and did what he had to do, and it's really shown to everyone that our Penn secondary is a really strong group, and nobody has any doubts or insecurities about what we can do and what our abilities are.
Talking to National Defensive Player of the Week, Britton Ertman, a senior safety on this year's Penn squad. The build-up for this battle against the Bulldogs, what's it been like this past week?
The Bulldogs, though, is a huge game. I can't, you know, everybody's got their rivals, and I'd say Penn, Yale, and Harvard have always been sort of an elite group that, you know, it's always a big game when you go in to play them. The Yale Bowl is, you know, it's a great place to play at. That was the last grass field I get to play on for the rest of my life, but there's a lot of hype. They got a great offensive line. They got a running back who's always been outstanding, and we know we got to shut the run game down this week, and I think we're going to get some bigger bodies out on the defensive field, as you'll see this week, but I think we got a great game plan to shut them down, and, you know, I know everybody's going to be doing their job to make that happen.
How much will this contest reveal about the red and blue?
I think it's a big statement game, because so far, Captain Tyson Mogul pointed out, we, you know, the teams we've beaten have a combined win record of, one win, so although I'm not taking anything away from those teams, I know this was the best Columbia team we faced in 4 years that we just beat, but this is a huge statement game for Penn's offense and defense. You know, we need to put some points on the board, and we need to keep them out of the end zone and show the other Ivy League competitors who are about to play that, you know, Penn's back.
And lastly, for the senior class, you're leading a team right now where no one has ever tasted what it's like to win an H&A championship. So for the senior class, what significance does this meeting hold to get you guys on the track towards that ultimate goal?
It's huge. I was able to win the league championship when I was in high school, and since then I haven't had that taste in my mouth. And to be 2-0 in the hunt right now is just a huge thing for the senior class. We were getting on our freshmen, our sophomores, our juniors. Everybody needs to step up this season. There's no one who's going to be a bystander on the sideline not paying attention on the games. Everybody is into it. Everybody is focusing and getting ready for this week. And, you know, last year seniors also left without a ring. And as a junior, it was sort of we went through that with them and their experience. And we were good friends with many of them. And just the disappointment that they faced not being able to get a ring has really sat tight with us seniors. And, you know, there's no way we're going down without a fight.
Britton, congratulations on the recognition this past week. And best of luck as the season rolls on.
Thank you very much.
And there is no doubt that Britton Ertman and the Penn defense has fought over the course of this afternoon in the first 30 minutes so far, but it is up to the offense to fight through some problems it has encountered in the first and second quarters. At halftime at the Yale Bowl, it is a 7-0 Bulldogs lead on the Quakers. We'll continue the United Healthcare Halftime Report on the other side. You're listening to Penn Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
We're all concerned about the cost of healthcare, and there's a company that's made a serious commitment to doing something about it. That's United Healthcare, and they provide plans designed to offer more for the money. United Healthcare makes it easy to get the care you need when and where you need it. Their plans provide access to more than 560,000 healthcare professionals nationally, including more than 21,000 in Pennsylvania alone. Their consumer-driven health plans, or CDHPS, cost less money up front, but they don't give you less. These plans come with online tools and wellness programs that can help you get and stay healthy and save on your coverage. And as a United Healthcare member, you receive discounts on things that aren't covered by traditional insurance, like LASIK, health club memberships, and more. United Healthcare. Healing healthcare. Together, find out more at unitedhealthcare.com. United Healthcare Services Incorporated. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates.
And this is the United Healthcare Halftime Report on the Penn Sports Network. Brian Seltzer alongside Hench Murray at the Yale Bowl in New Haven, Connecticut, with Ed Caiazzo at the controls at the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. And you never know who you might find in the press box for a Penn game, and this man has certainly seen his fair share of Quaker contests, a proud product of the great University of Pennsylvania, and covering this game for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and actually live chatting right now this game on Philly.com. So, hey, you could listen to us and blog along with Jonathan Tannenwald. John, good to see you.
Good to see you, Brian.
John, you have seen just about every game this season. Your impressions of this 3-2 overall, 2-0 in the Ivy League, Penn Quakers fun.
Well, I think the key is that they're 2-0 in the Ivy League, and they've won, and Yale has lost the game, and Harvard has lost the game. And as long as you've got no losses in the league, they're in first place. And if they win today, they really would be in the driver's seat, especially going into next week against Brown.
It was very surprising to see that happen to Harvard and Yale. Not just the fact that they each have a loss in their H&A slate, but it happened the first weekend. But Penn defensively so staunch coming into this game, ranked fourth in the football championship subdivision for total defensive yards surrendered per contest. First in the Ivy League, tied with Yale in that category. But the offense, they're trying. They're trying just about everything, but they can't get anything.
They're trying. You do have to give some credit to Yale's defense. As you said, they're also very good. You know, we were talking off the air about some inconsistency, and I agree with that. I like the fact that they're running the ball a lot this year, and they have the guys who can run the ball. I would like to see them try to spread the ball around the receivers a little more. We've seen Josh Koontz make a lot of catches today, and he's gotten some yards on, but we saw at the end of the first half, when they got the ball, I believe it was to Urban and then to Lawrence, they were able to get the ball down the field to a greater degree. So if they keep spreading out who gets the ball, I think it keeps Yale off now.
And you have a great blog for Philly.com, Soft Pretzel Logic. Of course, what can we expect, especially now with, I know, your forte, college hoops season right around the corner?
I'm getting blown over by baseball at the moment. I'm live blogging the World Series games as well. But on November 10th, we will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning at the DAC with Penn and Drexel. I believe you'll be there as well.
Some way, shape, or form, yes.
It's going to be a great year. I'm always starting to look at what 10 and Big 5 games I'm going to be at. A lot of live blogging, just like last year, and it's a new live blogging platform that you mentioned in the chat. I take reader comments during the games, and I do enjoy hearing from people. It makes a lot of fun.
All right, well, if you want to hear from us and then chat along with Jonathan Cannonwald of the Philadelphia Inquirer and Philly.com, you can go to that website right now, but, of course, keep that radio dial turned on. It is a 7-0 Yale lead over Penn at the half at the Yale Bowl. We will come back, reset the storylines heading into the second stanza. You're listening to the United Healthcare Halftime Report on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
And now, let's get back to two chuckleheads talk sports, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Bill, your thoughts.
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you
no,
are.
You
no,
are.
You are. Anyways, next up, the wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989, the wave is about as cool as acid wash pink jeans.
The wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans are not off of the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree? Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine. We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious. G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng-ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero-calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Penn fans, it's not too late to purchase your Penn football season tickets for only $80. Season tickets include a reserved seat for all 5 home games, a Franklin Field mini stadium replica, a media guide, and more. You can purchase tickets by calling the Penn Athletics ticket office at 215-898-6151 or logging on to the brand new PennAthletics.com. Don't miss out on an exciting season of Penn football at historic Franklin Field. We'll see you there.
The second half just about ready to go here at the Yale Bowl in New Haven, Connecticut, on the campus of Yale University, alongside Hench Murray, Brian Seltzer, and Hench. We have dissected and beaten the horse dead about what has to happen for this Penn Quakers team. An encouraging sign, though, they seem very up on the far sideline, coming out of the tunnel on the opposite side of the field. They just need to find that groove, but it seemed like working quickly with the offense. Kyle Olson was able to find something in a couple of those drives to end the first half.
Well, we've pretty much, as you said, Brian, exhausted trying to analyze what the issues are here. And it may just come down to some of the key players on this team are not quite as talented as perhaps they were expecting they would be or that they need to be, because I'm sure they're working hard. I'm sure they're trying all that stuff. I know the coaches go back week after week and look at film and try to understand what's going on and try to make adjustments. And, you know, if over a period of time you don't see a whole lot of change, then you run out of things to make excuses about.
Time to go around the H-8 on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard, and we know the score here. 7-0 Yale on top of Penn. Cornell and Brown battling in Providence, and that is a tight tilt as it heads into the third quarter with 11:20 to go in the third. It's the Bears 13 and the Big Red 7. Cornell and Brown both 3-2 overall. Cornell 1-1 in conference competition, so they're trying to stay alive. Brown trying to extend its edge in the Ancient Eight race. They are 2-0 and they lead it 13-7 with 11:20 to go in the third quarter. Dartmouth and Columbia, a duel of the winless at Morningside Heights. Later on today, that is at 4 o'clock, each 0-5 and 0-2, respectively, in the Ancient Eight standings. And here is the interesting and intriguing score of the afternoon, Mr. Murray, and that is Harvard trailing Princeton 14-10 with 23 seconds to go in the first half. Harvard 4-1 overall, Princeton 2-3 on the season, but each 1-1 in the Ivy League. So this one is going to be very important and interesting to see how this all shapes up.
As is the one that we're watching here today at the Yale Bowl.
It remains grazy and over-grazy. It remains gray and hazy and overcast, with temperatures just around 60 degrees, a little bit more balmy than we expected this time of year, as some of us came up here dressed and outfitted, bundled up, ready for the teeth and heart of winter and cold climates. But it's been a pretty pleasant afternoon temperature-wise. It's just the wind. It's been kind of whipping around a little bit here at the bowl. Has it played a factor in that field goal try for Andrew Sampson when he missed by 34 yards towards the end of the second half. And because of that, Penn remains blank on the scoreboard. They trail the Bulldogs 7-0, and we're ready to go here in the third quarter.
Well, it's an interesting bit of strategy here. Penn's got the ball, and of course Yale got to defend the goal, and they are going to take, they're going to kick into the wind, so they're going to take the wind in the fourth quarter, assuming that they can hold on here and then take that advantage into the fourth quarter if Penn can't do anything here in the third quarter. So this is where they got to put some points on.
Penn trying to keep two streaks alive. One, obviously, and the most important is their winning streak, which was at three coming into this contest this afternoon. And the other is that they've scored a point in 105 consecutive games as a short kick twirls nose-to-nose, coming down at the 15-yard line for the Quakers. And blasting up the gut is Johnny Moore, the first return for him on this season, as he speeds across the 40, near sideline, left up to the 10, 43-yard line.
Again, tackled by the kicker. So that was a nice wedge that they created there, coming up to, started up the middle of the field for Jonathan Moore and breaking it out to the left side. So here we go again. Great field position. The Winnipeg are back. Let's see what the Quakers can do.
And interestingly, Hans, it certainly didn't seem like it, and it makes sense given some of the drives they put up at the end of the first half. But Penn outgaining Yale in total offensive yardage by about 101-65.
Hard to believe.
Slot far right for the Quakers. They started first and 10 from their own 43. Kyle Olson remains at the reins of the offense. The tailback is DiMaggio. He gets the carry. He pushes his way through a hole on the left side, gaining around 6 on the carry up to his own 49.
Tackle by 90.
Mike DiMaggio in the first half had exactly 6 on 3 touches. Bradford Blackman, the leading rusher for the Red and Blue, he had 6 carries for 27 yards, and that is a game high so far, as Mike McLeod Hinch continues to struggle this season, as he was limited to just 3.
Yeah, he's got a, there's got to be something wrong with McLeod.
Pardon me, make that 23 for Mike McLeod. Under center, Kyle Olson, slot far right, second 4 for the Quakers from their own 49. DiMaggio, the tailback, play action, good block in the backfield by Coote. Olson under pressure, he throws it away near sideline left. And since there was no intended receiver in the area, it is Price, the cornerback for the Bulldogs, and Jack Sidelecki, their head coach, pleading with the officiating crew for an intentional grounding there. But they aren't going to get it, as Penn will go back to work on 3rd and 4 from their own 49. If the Quakers could muster something at any point in this game, that would be good for their offense, but particularly coming out of the gates in the third quarter. Slot far right, Lawrence alone near left. Shotgun set, Olson takes the snap, fires far right, and it is nearly picked off by Brady Hart, the right defensive end.
Well, it's the same deja vu that we saw right at the end of the second half there, where Kyle's trying to throw that quick gap, but he's somehow not reading the underneath covers that time. And it was a poorly thrown ball, and fortunately for Penn it was, or that probably would have been picked off.
Did you see them disguising anything, Yale, defensively that would present some of these problems for Penn?
I don't.
Olson to punt it away from his own 35 at the near left hash. Gio Cristogelo is back at his own 11. As Olson steps up, sends it away, end over end. It bounces down and out of bounds. And on the Yale 70-yard line, they'll actually spot it at the 4. So a nice boot from the Quaker quarterback and punter, Kyle Olson.
Well, that part of the game has been excellent. He's done his typically excellent job of putting the ball deep in the opponent's territory. That time he bounced it out of the 4-yard line, and it was not returnable, of course, because it went out of bounds.
And the amazing thing is, Hence, is just how exceptional the starting field position has been on average for Penn and how miserable it's been for Yale. This is the second 9 this afternoon that they start under their own 5. It's at their 4 on 1st and 10. Slot near right. Hart remains under center as, again, Ryan Fedor did not get the start. He's injured for the Bulldogs. Hand off to McLeod, left side, and there's no room for him to rush at all. He might actually lose the yard on that carry.
Well, they certainly have had his number And again, he may be a little bit banged up, but don't take anything away from the Quaker defense because they've been all over him this afternoon.
And this really, Hinch, this is starting to look like something where if Penn wants some points, the defense or the special teams units are going to have to come up and do something and really put this offense in prime position to get something on the board. Minute and a half gone by in the third quarter. It remains 7-0 Yale. Under center, it is Hart. Slot, near right. The tailback is again McLeod. A screen to a wide receiver on the near side. And near safety is, it was Mogul coming in for an initial stop on Sheffield, but Sheffield escaped and got up to the 4-yard line. As that hitch might have been the second safety in as many games.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not really a screen. It's that just quick sort of circle pattern to the wide receiver Sheffield. And Tyson Mogul smelled it right away, was right at the goal line making contact. Unable to bring Sheffield down, or you're right, that very possibly could have been a safety.
Third and a long 10 for the Bulldogs from their own 5-yard line. Hart under center. Slot now far left. Tailback is McLeod, 3 yards deep in his own end zone. He'll rush it ahead, rips the hole through the middle, but gets only about 2 yards to his own 7. So that'll bring up 4th and 8, and a punting situation one more time for the Yale Bulldogs. And it really is so intriguing, Hinch, how much these two teams mirror one another.
That's just a great defensive series again by the Penn Quakers.
Punting for Yale, 8.
Tom Manti will punt.
He's going to have his heels right back at the end line.
Standing about 9 yards deep into his own end zone, Lawrence will return for the Quakers. Manny steps up and gets it away. This one's a wobbler, and it's short. It bounces at the Yale 38, and now backwards before it's scooped up at the Bulldogs' 36-yard line.
Gee. Well, if you keep the exchanges going, Yale, again, may have outsmarted itself by giving Penn the wind in the third quarter, because that time punting out of their own end zone into the wind, it was a not very successful kick. As you said, the ball only out to the 36-yard line, so Penn's field position continues to improve even though they don't get first down.
11:44 left in the third quarter, a timeout on the field. The score, Yale leading Penn 7-0. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
So tell me, what do you love about Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
5 salsas.
Oh, yeah. I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me, just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm hooked.
Yeah, you can get it for a month straight to get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. All made fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
If you're attending an event at Franklin Field or the Palestra and want to check out historic sites, the Holiday Inn Historic District, located in Old City, Philadelphia, has special discounted rates. Just call 1-800-THE-BELL and ask for the University of Pennsylvania rate. The hotel is newly renovated, only 3 miles from Penn, and within walking distance to all major historic attractions, 50 restaurants, shops, and more. Call today and reserve your room. The Holiday Inn Historic District, 1-800-THE-BELL, 1-800-THE-BELL.
Penn's offense trots out onto the field with 11:44 remaining in the third quarter, trailing 7-0 to Yale. First and 10 Quakers of the Bulldogs, 36. Back's eye set, now they motion Blackman out of the eye, far right into the slot. Olsen takes the snap, pumps, looks deep, lobs it deep down the middle of the field, and it's overthrown, intended for Kyle Durham, who seemed to have a little bit of a step hinge on a pair of Bulldogs defensive backs.
Well, that was pretty good pump action fake. You know, he tried to sucker him, and I don't think the Yale defenders were fooled on that, but they were going for all the marbles on first down.
Something needs to be done offensively to keep the Bulldogs on their heels. They seem to understand exactly what Penn is trying to do. They've never really been caught off guard throughout this game. The tailback on 2nd and 10 for Penn from the Bulldogs 36 is Blackman. And Blackman through the right side. He's wrapped up and thrown down to the Bulldogs 33 after he shot ahead for a gain of about 3.5. Blackman returned against Columbia last week. 11 carries for 13 yards. A much more successful day on the ground this afternoon He also scored a touchdown, the second of his Quaker career, against the Lions last week. And also, Penn has Michael DiMaggio, obviously, back and healthy. And Matt Hampshire as well, who was named Ivy League Rookie of the Week this past week after he rushed for 67 yards against Columbia. 3rd and 7, 10. The Bulldogs 33 on the run. Olsen throws low, incomplete, intended near side left for Kyle Durham.
Well, you can't be real satisfied with that series either.
And now, Penn,
four down
the personnel,
yeah.
The Bulldogs 33. It's a little bit too far to test Andrew Sampson, even though he does have the wind with him at his back. So 4th and 7 for the Quakers. This is the second 4th down they will go for today. They did not convert the first. A receiver right and left. Now Olsen backs up deep as if he could possibly punt. And Olsen does do a little sidewinder kick that trickles into the Bulldogs' end zone. So Yale will have it at their own 20 coming out. It's just, it hits you hard, Hicks, with the field position, where it's been, and the opportunity seemingly what they have been for the Quakers. But now we'll see if the defense can possibly generate a turnover. Because we get the feeling that that is exactly what Penn could use. But Yale, they look like they're playing it safe.
I was thinking the same thing. That I think Yale's going to play it pretty safe this whole third quarter until they get the wind again.
1st and 10, Bulldogs, their own 20-yard line. Dotting the I in the backfield is McLeod, a receiver right and left. Seddon is near right, and they give it to McLeod, and McLeod rips off his first big run of the afternoon across the 25 up to the 27. 7 yards for the senior running back, Mike McLeod. McLeod's so good in years past, running down what he has done over the course of his career. His 52 touchdowns, the most in Yale football history, as are his 312 points, 4,138 rushing yards, and 900, as we update the stats here, 948 rushes. 2nd and 3 for the Bulldogs, their own 27, slot near right under center. It is Brooke Hart, and he hands off to McLeod, looking to his left, and he's going to be denied and driven back for a loss of 2 to his own 25. Guillermo Ruffolo out there, and he's had a nice day as well, Hatch, in addition to Joe Gonifro on the inside of Penn's defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably cite all 11 guys, although it's probably more than that because Penn plays so many different people on defense. But, you know, that starting down 3 has done a terrific job. Linebackers have backed up and filled the gaps just the way it's drawn up on paper. So, you know, you couldn't ask for anything more.
3rd and 5 for the Bulldogs, their own 25, Hart under center. Penn brings some pressure, Hart looks left, throws over the middle, and underneath, he completes the pass for a first down to his tight end, John Sheffield. It looked like he was about to fire it off to the left side, but he kind of snapped the throw across over the middle of Sheffield. The crowd gets loud as there's a first down for the Bulldogs.
Well, the game has been shy of first down, so.
In the first half, Hatch, there were only... And because, well, yeah, there were only 9 in the first half. Not a lot. Backside set along the far left hash. McLeod is lassoed and brought down by Britton Erdman in the backfield. As he drives back McLeod 2 yards, the tackle for loss.
Actually, I think that was Jordan Manning who was coming from the safety spot that time. In the backfield before the play had a chance to start. That's the way to stop McLeod. And I think they've been pretty effective. We said right at the very beginning of the show when he broke off one good run, you got to get him low and you got to get him early.
And for Jordan Manning, that's a big boost. Just 8 tackles his last 3 games coming into this contest following the career high 11 at Lafayette. 8:25 to go in the third. 7-0 Bulldogs with the ball on 2nd and 12 from their own 29. Hart is under pressure and he's hauled down for another sack to the Penn defense. Once again, Joe Gonifrow getting in there. That's his 2nd sack of this afternoon. And down on the turf, shaking up on the play, it's Landon Hargrove, one of the offensive linemen, the right guard for the Bulldogs. 8:08 remaining in the third quarter. 7-0 Bulldogs on top of Penn. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality healthcare products and services designed specifically to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, IBC provides healthcare insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, go online to IBX.com.
Hargrove down on the field for the Yale Bulldogs, the right guard, and it was the first start of his career this afternoon, and he was an All-Ivy honorable mention, the first start of his career. He was a backup for five games played coming into today. So he's down and now being helped to his feet and walking off the field under his own power, which is good to see. He gets a hand from the crowd and from his teammates as time is stopped with 8 minutes, 8 seconds left in the third quarter. 7-0, Yale leading Penn as the Quakers once again could not capitalize on solid field position in the early goings of this second half.
TV timeout.
And now they take a TV timeout. We love the fact that the Quakers have a, I think, an Ivy League best 7 televised games, but it certainly does do a little something to the pace of the game. So we'll step aside one more time. 8-8 to go in the third. 7-0 Bulldogs on the Penn Sports Network.
Nobody does Philly sports better than Comcast Sportsnet. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10 and catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sportsnet, nobody does Philly sports better.
The Red and Blue riding a 3-game winning streak into this afternoon's showdown with Yale. The stakes very large for each of these squads. Penn trying to improve to 3-0 in conference competition, whereas the Bulldogs trying to get back into the hunt for a 15th Ivy League title as they're sitting at 1-1 in the conference standings. Third and a long 14 for the Bulldogs as Brooke Hart goes out of the gun from his own 27. Slot far left. Is sitting near right. And now Hart is under pressure again. Steps up, gets away from one tackle. He's going to have to run. And Jake Lucco shoestring tackles him across the 30 to the 33. He picked up 6. Once again, the Bulldogs are going to have to boot it away.
Well, they got one first down, so
that was about it.
Difficult to make a highlight film of this.
Yale only had 3 first downs in the first half and now a total of 4 on the afternoon. Tom Manny to send it away from his own 20, steps up, gives it a nice ride, and there's Marcus Lawrence at his own 30, falling to his knees to secure it, and he actually was moved backward on that development, so the ball will be at the 10, 28 on the far left hash mark as things start here on this series. Kyle Olson has gotten the bulk of the reps at quarterback despite Robert Irvin's start. And Kyle played through a little bit of injury in this game. He was banged up towards the end of the second quarter, and he's on the field now in a shotgun set on first and 10 from his own 28. Slot near left, and they have Lawrence far right. Olson pumps to his left, now looks for a screen right side. It was hauled in at the line of scrimmage, but then driven back for the Penn Quakers was Bradford Blackman on the reception.
Bradford Blackman.
And that'll make it second and about 11 and a half for the Quakers from the 27.
You said it before, Brian. You know, he just seems a little bit too hurried. There's too much urgency to make the play happen. And on that screen, he's got to take a little bit more time to let it set up, and he wasn't able to that time.
DiMaggio dots the eye in the backfield, and he gets the rush as he gashes the whole straight ahead up the gut. Across the 25, back to the 27. Like a third and a long 11 for the Quakers. Awfully difficult to get into a rhythm when you're forcing yourself into third and long situations, and particularly the field position for Penn on this drive, not ideal. Penn's offense coming into the game, averaging 302 yards on offense on average. They're not sniffing close to that today. Trips near left of the Quakers. Shotgun set. Third and 12, 0-27. Olsen design rollout near left on the run. He throws it behind his intended receiver, David Wirst.
Well, he had Wirst open that time. They did have three receivers kind of moving in tandem out there into the left flat, and he's rolling to his left, and he just threw the ball behind Wirst. He's had trouble getting the ball where it needs to be when he's throwing on the run.
Gio Cristogelo to return it, the sophomore from Miami, Florida. Bell and Jesuit prep for the Bulldogs. And a 71-yard punt return for a touchdown at Cornell, and the Bulldogs lost. So he is very dangerous back there. Olsen stays on the field. Another low snap on the ground, but he gets off a nice punt. Cristogelo has it bounced at his own 30, and then he picks it up dangerously at his own 22. And in there for the tackle is Johnny Moore along the far left sideline. So the Bulldogs will have the ball at their own 22 to begin this series with 5:52 left in the third quarter and leading 7-0.
Yeah, that was a sort of a dangerous effort there to try to snatch that ball out of the air when it was bouncing like that. But by doing it, he saved them probably a significant amount of yardage because it was going to be taken a pen bounce. So he takes possession. They take possession at the 22. That could have been a lot worse.
Yale going into the wind has Mike McLeod at tailback and a receiver right and left. First and 10, they're on 22-yard line. Brooke Hart, play action, back to throw. And he lost the ball. It's stripped. Loose on the ground as he went to throw, and the Quakers appear to have recovered it. As the defense jumps around, and there's the break that the red and blue desperately needed. They're going to have it with their best position of the afternoon.
Well, they came with everybody that time. Jordan Manning and Tyson Mogul both on the blitz. Good pressure before he had even the slightest chance to do anything with it. And it looked like it was going to hop up right into Jordan Manning's lap. He wasn't able to hold on to it, but I think they'll settle for possession.
So the Quakers make their second trip into the red zone today. They have it first and 10 at the Bulldogs' 13-yard line with 5:40 left in the third quarter, trailing 7-0. Olsen under center. They motion Coots far right. Slot near left. Getting the call is DiMaggio with persistence. Plows his way ahead across the 10, down to the 7. That's a pickup of 6 for the sophomore running back for the red and blue.
Nice action that time. The direct handoff to DiMaggio going to the right, and a nice bootleg fake by Kyle Olsen, who had him actually watching him.
A turnover by the Penn Quakers, an interception thrown by Robert Irvin, resulted in points for Yale as it set up their offense in position to produce a score. And now Penn trying to mimic that storyline. Second and 5 Quakers from the Bulldogs 8. Hand off to Maggio, right side, runs straight ahead, but the closing hole prevents him from going much of anywhere. He gets down 2 around the 6 after racking up 2.
Michael just not able to get his shoulder square to the line of scrimmage that time. They were running an angle play off to the right side. It's the one we've seen so often where they're just trying to get that daylight. It never quite showed, so he kept continuing to have to run on the angle and didn't get quite as much out of it as he would have liked. So, needless to say, a big third down here.
A huge one for the Quakers. 3rd and 3 from the Yale 6. Under center, it's Olsen. Tailback to DiMaggio. Slot near left. They motion Coots far right. Olsen gives to DiMaggio. DiMaggio runs into traffic on the right side, and he's not going to get enough for a first down.
Same play, different formation, but again, they're up to the right side, just trying to find a little bit of a crack there. They didn't find it.
And now the Quakers bring on Andrew Sampson, who missed a 34-yard attempt earlier. This one is going to be from 22 yards out.
And he's from the right hash again, which is where he was the last time. He's gone to a different end of the field this time, so the wind is at his back.
Out of the hold of Durham, Sampson 3-for-3 on field goal attempts between the 20 and 29. For 22 yards, there's the snap. The hold is down. The kick is up, and it is good. And the Quakers are on the board with 3:35 remaining in the third quarter. They now only trail by 4. 7-3 is the score. Time out on the field will take one as well. You are listening to Quaker Football on 990 WMTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker E-Pass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Nobody does Philly sports better than Comcast Sportsnet. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10 and catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly sports better.
3 minutes and 35 seconds remaining in the third quarter, and it took the Penn Quakers, as we do a little bit of quick math here. Kent, were you a math major?
No.
All right, well, I'm going to say, as I do
good,
quick addition and subtraction with time, 21 minutes and 25 seconds for Penn to get their first points this afternoon with 3:35 remaining in the third quarter. If they trail 7-3, is that correct?
Well, they scored with 3:35 left in the third quarter. Can I work it backwards? Well, I'll tell you, this Penn defense is really gambling again. That time, Morgel and Jordan Manning both came on the blitz and got McLeod where you need to get him, in the backfield. They're pulling out all the stops. They're trying to get these turnovers. They're trying to make something happen. And we ought to remind the listeners that Brooke Hart is the second-string quarterback here at Yale, and he's in his first start today. So, you know, he may still be having some of those first-game anxiety issues.
Second and 11 for the Bulldogs. Their own 32 under center is Hart. Slot near right. He looks to throw. Fires near side right through the hands of Chris Crisullo.
Well, that time Marvel came again and actually got his hands up. May have distracted the vision for Brooke Hart that time because that one sailed way over the receiver's head.
Hart came into this game with three appearances this season, having had completed 20 of 29 passes before this afternoon's outing. I'm just trying to settle himself down, and much like Robert Irvin and or Kyle Olsen on the Penn side, trying to get his offense into a rhythm. It's third down and a long 11 for the Bulldogs from their own 32. Shotgun set, hard to throw, looks over the middle, and now hits Sheffield near right. He escapes one tackle, and he's going to be very close to a first down. The ball popped free, but they say that Sheffield was down by contact. And they're going to spot the ball right up and around the 42. That's going to be a yard shy of the first down. They need to get up to the 43, but they're a yard short. And it looks like Jack Sidelecki might keep his club on the field as Brooke Hart remains out there. But now they come off, and
he's not going to
Bulldogs
do
have to punt.
I think they got a bad spot that time. Looks like he might have had enough yardage there for the first down, but where they spotted him. He's, as you said, a yard short. So Quakers get a break here, and Yale has to kick into the wind one more time.
Lawrence to return at his own 20, and there's a botch snap and fumble. It's loose and recovered by Manny, and the Quakers force their second turnover on as many series.
J.D. Black was the guy who wasn't fooled that time. Again, one of that coverage team for Penn, the return team, I should say. Gutsy call by Sedlecki, but botched by the Yale offense. The upback couldn't handle the snap, and as he was trying to recover, J.D. Black was all over him.
And you're right,
that's
a bold
turnover
selection.
We were talking about.
A bold selection by not only Jack Sedlecki, but also Sean Halloran, the special teams coordinator for the Bulldogs and former offensive coordinator for Penn in 2006 before Bill Schmidt. So now Penn gets it going from the Bulldogs 33. They have forced a cough up on the Bulldogs in consecutive drives. A receiver right and left, play action. Now they fire to Lawrence near side left, who cuts through tackles across the 30 to the 25. A pickup of 8 for the red and blue receiver.
Got a pretty good block that time from Joe DiRaggio, one of those interior linemen who came out and made the kickout block on that quick screen. That's what set it up. Nice effort on first down.
That makes it second and a very short one for Penn. As the ball is spotted at the Bulldogs 24. Durham, the lone receiver, near side left. The tailback is Blackman. And Blackman gets the call. Burrows through on the left side. Stood up once. Second effort, gets back to his feet. But then he's driven back by the Bulldogs defense. And in there, on the play for Yale.
Paul Wright.
Yeah, Paul Wright.
It'll be a close spot. They're saying third down. They're not going to bring the chains out, but the nose is sitting just, looks like it's touching the hash mark. The chain is on the hash mark, but they are not going to bring the chains out, so.
A matter of inches for the Penn Quakers.
This is a test of the offensive line. This is when you got to dig deep.
40 seconds to go in the third quarter. 7-3, Yale with the lead. One receiver near left, Olsen under center. DiMaggio the tailback. The handoff there. He's got a first down and more across the 20, down to the Yale 18-yard line.
Boy, it looked like he was going to get caught in the backfield, and he just sidestepped a little bit, had a great head of steam going forward, almost too much, Brian, because it looked, once he cleared the line of scrimmage, almost like he stumbled, but we'll take that for the first down and keeping this thing going with 28 seconds.
And ever so slightly, perhaps, you might be able to say that the momentum scale is beginning to tip in the favor of the Penn Quakers. A large factor in that is what they can do on this possession right here. First and 10, Penn from the Bulldogs 18. Olsen to throw. Over the middle. Wide open. Josh Koontz down to the 10-yard line. He's trying to squeak underneath it, and he gets to about the 9. The third quarter is going to come to a close, and Penn is in position to possibly take the lead for the first time this afternoon. 7-3, your score. The final 15 coming your way. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Make the most of your time when you travel on Amtrak's Axcella Express for leisure or business. You'll get everything you need to work or relax, like conference tables for holding meetings, a quiet car to catch up on sleep, outlets to recharge your laptops and cell phones, and a bistro bar so you can grab a bite to eat or enjoy a refreshing beverage. To book your next trip on Amtrak, call 1-800-USA-RAIL or visit Amtrak.com.
Nobody does Philly sports better than Comcast SportsNet. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10 and catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast SportsNet. Nobody does Philly sports better.
The fourth and final quarter about to get underway at the Yale Bowl alongside Hench Murray, Brian Seltzer, Ed Chiazzo, busy at the controls at the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. Apologies if we were knocked off for a couple seconds there. Penn, another job well done getting the offense on the move a little bit as they were able to get a first down and then some to get under to deep into Yale territory. Josh Koontz with the recent reception for the red and blue. Also some good rushing from Michael DiMaggio to sustain this drive.
And don't know if you did miss it while we were off the air. The Yale tried to fake fake a punt on fourth down and had a bad snap to the short up back who was having trouble handling the ball, and J.D. Black made the tackle there, and so that's how Penn got in that favorable position, which is, has gotten better since. You know, you wonder when the quarter changes like that and you've got the momentum and you're driving down, you make a big play there on that catch by Josh Kuntz. Is this an advantage to give yourself time to think about it? Is it a disadvantage because you want to get in the huddle and get up on the ball? And I really don't know what the answer is. I guess we're going to have to watch and see how they come out here.
One of the neat things about the Yale Bowl, in addition to its history, it oozes lore of college football, but we are very, very close to the coaching booth for the Penn Quakers, and every now and then we can hear a little thing, and then another little thing, and Penn was just about to come out of the huddle a little bit earlier, and they implored the Red Blue to get back in there. They want to make sure this play is right, and it's second and two for Penn from the Yale 10. Slot near right. Durham is the inside receiver. Olsen will be under center when they get down into the formation, and DiMaggio the tailback. Penn is really, I think, hedged towards the middle of this second half and really getting going. They've been able to establish a nice 1-2 punch with Blackman and DiMaggio rotating those two. On second and two from the Yale 10, DiMaggio straight up the gut. He's across the 5 to the 4 to set up a goal line stand and situation for Penn's offense.
Just a little quick trap up front and a direct handoff to Mike DiMaggio. And he was a man with determination that time, busting the ball down inside the 5-yard line to pick up that first down. First and goal, and the ball just resting inside the 5.
It took Penn 41 minutes and 25 seconds to stick their first points on the board. And now in consecutive series, they have a chance to take their first lead of this contest. Dotting the eye in the backfield is DiMaggio. First and goal from the Bulldogs 5. Pitch left. DiMaggio trips up. He slithers through. He's in. Touchdown. No. They're going to stop him right at the 1. It looked like he got the ball across, but his knee went down at the half-yard marker.
You could just see him beginning to stumble as he had the goal line in sight. Had plenty of momentum, but the knee did hit just before he got in. So the ball now, literally, the nose of the football is almost on the goal line.
Second and goal for the Quakers from the half-yard line. Everybody bunches in close. DiMaggio dots the eye in the backfield. It's Olsen under center. Gives to Michael straight ahead, and he's stuffed and knocked back as the Bulldogs quad the middle. Santoro leading the way. The safety coming up to make a big hit for the Bulldogs.
Jason Marin leading the play up front from his fullback position, but that just goes to show you, even if you're a tough, hard-running tailback, if the defense is staunch and can control that line of scrimmage, you could be running as hard as you can, and you may still get knocked backwards, which is what happened to Mike DiMaggio that time.
It moves Penn a yard and a half back. Third and goal from the Bulldogs 2. 7-3, Penn trailing, seeking the lead. Back by set. Olsen under center. Olsen takes the pitch left, looking to throw. He's under pressure, nothing there. Screen left to DiMaggio, who's trapped and cornered, and Penn's going to lose 8 yards.
Well, they tried to come with a bootleg. Interesting call. Coming to the right side. Now, remember, Kyle Olsen's a left-handed quarterback, but as he came out of the fake, there were some defenders right there, and it was not to be. So once he got confronted, he tried to roll back to the left, and he did dump the ball off to DiMaggio, as you said. So the ball rests on the left hash just at the 10-yard line. And Andrew Sampson's going to get a chance to try a field goal at this end of the stadium again.
And as huge a swing as the momentum pendulum could have taken, had Penn scored there, that staunch stand by the Bulldogs might have put it right back in Yale's corner in terms of how the momentum and flow of this game is going, as the Quakers had it about as close as possible without actually being in the end zone at the half-yard mark. And then they ended up losing about 9.5 yards from there on the next two plays. Now Andrew Sampson is coming on for a 21-yard attempt from the far left pass out of the hold of Durham to try and trim this deficit to 1 for Penn. Here's the snap. The hold is down. The kick is up, and it is low but good as Penn pulls within a point. 7-6 is the score. Yale still leads, but Penn creeping closer. You listen to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Nobody does Philly sports better than Comcast Sportsnet. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10 and catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all your favorite teams. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly sports better.
Make the most of your time when you travel on Amtrak's Acela Express for leisure or business. You'll get everything you need to work or relax, like conference tables for holding meetings, a quiet car to catch up on sleep, outlets to recharge your laptops and cell phones, and a bistro bar so you can grab a bite to eat or enjoy a refreshing beverage. To book your next trip on Amtrak, call 1-800-USA-RAIL or visit Amtrak.com. Whether it's powering up the video board at historic Franklin Field, the radio you tune in to listen to Penn football on the Penn Sports Network, or the TV you watch the Quakers on, PICO is an integral part of the Penn football experience. PICO delivers to more than 1.6 million customers and natural gas to 460,000 customers in southeastern Pennsylvania. PICO is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. For more information, log on to exceloncorp.com.
And now, let's get back to Two Chucklehead Sox Sports, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest? Bill, your thoughts.
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Anyways, next up, the wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the wave.
Me too.
Okay, we're still 1989. The wave is about as cool as acid wash peg jeans.
The wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans who nod off at the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree? Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine. We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious. G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng. Ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Penn fans, it's not too late to purchase your Penn football season tickets for only $80. Season tickets include a reserved seat for all 5 home games, a Franklin Field mini stadium replica, a media guide, and more. You can purchase tickets by... Okay, we apologize for technical difficulties. 12:25 remaining in regulation. It's now 7-6. I'm not sure if you heard that, but it was a 21-yard field goal attempt and made successfully by Andrew Sampson to bring Penn within a point. And now the Bulldogs have the ball starting off on their own 28-yard line. Brooke Hart under center, backs in an eye, slot far right. Hart stumbles out of receiving the snap. Now he lost it deep down the far right side of the field, and he's unable to hit Sheffield down the sideline.
Considering to come with a lot of change up on defense, that time Jake Lucco really got to park just as he was throwing the football.
So the Quakers defense trying to get the offense back out onto the field as it's managed to find a little bit of rhythm, courtesy of a couple turnovers forced by the defense so far in the past two offensive series for the Bulldogs. Second and 10 for Yale, their own 28. Hart under center. A receiver right and left. The tailback is McLeod, and Mike is going to maneuver left, and then he's mauled up across the 30 after gaining about 4 to the 32. Jake Lucco again getting in there on the stop. He's played with a lot of intensity over the course of this afternoon. The second linebacker along with Jay Colabella for the Quakers. And we obviously call a game from one perspective, and that being Penn, but Yale's offense, it has struggled mightily as well. Third and 7 for the Bulldogs, their own 31. High snap out of a shotgun set, hard off his back foot. Up for the screen at Sheffield, and he's stuffed in the middle by Penn's defense, and the Quakers are going to knock the Bulldogs off the ball one more time.
Well, at the end of the third quarter, Brian, the Yale offense had 38 snaps and had gotten 71 yards for their trouble and for three quarters. So the Penn defense, I suppose a little bit in combination with an offense for Yale that's struggling, has really done its work this afternoon.
11-11 to go in the fourth quarter. It's 7-6 Penn, Yale. Taking the punt, it is Lawrence, far side left. He has space, shoots across the 40. Now ducks under through some tackles up to the 45. A nice return by Marcus Lawrence. And once again, Penn trying to seize and take advantage of this exceptional field position that they have received regularly throughout this afternoon.
Yep, they've been running downhill most of the afternoon and unfortunately have not been able to take advantage of that tilted field.
Kyle Olson still the quarterback for the Quakers. Robert Irvin got the start. And then Olson came on. Tailback in this set on first and 10 from the 46 is Mike DiMaggio. And they have a slot near right. They motion Kuntz from right to left. And DiMaggio gets the carry, cruises up the middle, and carves through a big hole over midfield down to the Yale Bulldogs 47-yard line. That will be a pickup of 7 for DiMaggio.
Well, they've had pretty good success with that trap kind of offensive play where Josh Kuntz, who's normally the tight end, is lined up as a wingback, and he is actually the one who makes the trap block on it, and he's been very effective.
Second and a very short three for the Penn Quakers. Tailback DiMaggio, under center it's Olson. Durham, the receiver, far left. Olson hands off to DiMaggio, who drives ahead for a first down, moving the chains for Penn as Mike DiMaggio heads. Maybe it could be a little bit too early, but it seems like he's starting to break down that Bulldogs defense.
Getting into his own rhythm, that's for sure. That time, nothing fancy there, no traps, no nothing, just straight ahead power, and DiMaggio picked up the first down easily.
So Penn's offense as sluggish and flat as it appeared in the first half and portions at the start of the third quarter, starting to get in sync. First and 10 for Penn from the Bulldogs 42. Tailback DiMaggio, Olson to throw, looking far left over the middle and right there to reel it in for the red and blue, Kyle Durham. Kyle Durham, he's extremely versatile. Sometimes we see him lined up as a receiver wide to one side of the field. Other times in the slot, he can kind of find his space where he likes to.
Well, he's certainly a sure-handed receiver, and that was, again, nice work by Kyle Olson. That time they had three receivers who went down and turned at about 7 yards, and he kind of looked over to see who had the open spot. It happened to be Durham, and he just flipped it in there.
Second and another short yardage manageable situation for Penn. Two to go until they move the chains again. And Olson gives to DiMaggio, gashes up the gut, following his block over right tackle. And we'll see where the assistant stock is for progress. They say at the 31-yard line, and that'll be enough. This is looking easy, Hank.
Well, they had the trap again that time, and DiMaggio is playing like a man possessed. He just got up into the hole behind the trap block. You know, he didn't pick up big yards, but he had the first down easily.
When you see physical running backs out there succeeding on a field at any level, you sometimes can identify that they're playing and running with determination, and that's what it looks like DiMaggio is doing right now. First and 10, Penn shotgun set now. DiMaggio to the right of Olson, slot near right. Puck picked by Olson, looks down the middle. He's going to run and keep it. He crosses the 30 and reaches out, trying to get to the 29, and they say that he stopped at the 30. Getting
long. Joe Hathaway.
Not much he could do that time. Again, the pressure was coming outside in. He tried to make a move up to the middle and didn't get a whole lot for his trouble, but as you said, pushed the ball about a yard forward.
With this run-based attack, Penn trying to not only wear down the Bulldogs' defense, but kick time off the clock, 8:23 remaining in regulation. Penn trailing by a point. Bradford Blackman over the right side, turns the corner and tears his way over the 25, down to the 21-yard line. 9 by Blackman. And that, again, depending on the spot, should be just about enough, and it is to move the chains once again. And you can see Penn starting to come to life in terms of their attitude on the far sideline as this ground game is gobbling up big yardage for the Quakers. First and 10 as Penn is at the 20. In Yale territory for the third straight trip. They scored on their pass two. Slot far left under center. It's Olson. Tailback Blackman. Blackman is lassoed and swung up and tackled around the 20-yard line. In on the stop was Pat Moran.
92, Hunter Moran.
That's one way to slow up your momentum. Moran, again, got into a seam somehow there and got into the backfield, tackled him before he had a chance to get started.
Bradford Blackman and Mike DiMaggio, typically over the course of this season, before today, Hench, we often saw one take all the snaps and carries on one series, then kind of bring the next one in, but now they've been using both of them on the same drive. Second and 10, Penn shotgun set. Olsen from the Bulldogs 20 with a slot far left. They reverse the draw right, hopping through a hole to DiMaggio. He gets under the 15 to the Bulldogs 11. He gallops for nine.
Stopped by 33.
The inside handoff off the shotgun. And nice blocking up front to create a running lane. And DiMaggio got up into it. And they're saying he is about inches short of a first down. So how many times have we seen the importance of these third and short situations? Here's another one.
Penn trying for their first touchdown of this game, but right now they need a first down. On third and a few from the Bulldogs 11, under center it's Olsen. Tailback DiMaggio. It's worse near right. DiMaggio through a gaping gap on the right side. He's got it. Move the chains again.
I think DiMaggio is certainly winded. I mean, he probably, as the coach used to say, is his cardiovascular system up with his muscular system because he missed a couple of weeks, and he's having trouble getting his wind over there. So, Luke DeLuca is in there. Bradford Blackman's in there. We got DeLuca up front here in the at the fullback spot.
First and goal for the Quakers from the Bulldogs 8. Dotting the eye in the backfield as Blackman takes a pitch to the right side, and he's hemmed off and knocked down around the 9-yard line after maybe losing one. He did. He lost a yard, so that'll bring up second and goal from the Bulldogs 9. And here comes DiMaggio back out onto the field, and still has he entered this afternoon third in the Ivy League in total rushing yards despite having missed the time that he has with the injury.
Ball's on the right hash. They continue to go into the short side of the field here, and their tight end wing to that short side right. Let's see what they do.
Backside set. Durham, the lone receiver, far left. Olsen under center on second and goal from the 9. DiMaggio trying to escape tackle from the backfield, but he can't. As the Bulldogs defense read that beautifully, he tried to go left, then made his move back to the middle, and by that time he was tackled at the 15 for a loss of 6.
Well, somebody missed somebody that time because, again, there's real quick penetration by the Yale defense, and DiMaggio had nowhere to go.
The ball is spotted on the Bulldogs' 14-yard line. It'll be third and goal from that point. Shotgun set, Olsen. Squat, far left. And they have Lawrence near right. The tailback is DiMaggio. Olsen takes the snap and drops back. Under pressure, throws off his back foot, and he throws it away to the near right sideline. So Penn will have to settle for a field goal try again.
Well, he was running for his life that time. Again, Yale brought great pressure, and he's running left, trying to throw it back to the right. There was no chance that was going to be a completion. So Andrew Sampson's going to have to do it again. The ball not quite in the middle of the field, but it's resting inside the 20-yard line.
This will be from 31 yards for Sampson, who has struck two through distances of 22 and 21. He seeks to give his squad their first lead of the afternoon out of the hold of Kyle Durham. In the wind, here's the snap, the hold is down, the kick is up, and it is good! And Penn takes their first edge of the afternoon. They lead it 9-7 with 4:35 left in regulation. The Quakers trying to hold off the Bulldogs. You're listening to Quaker Football on 990 WNTP. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Fans, if you're looking for a cheesesteak in University City, there's no better place than Abner's Cheesesteaks, a neighborhood tradition located at 38th and Chestnut Street and abnerscheesesteaks.com. Abner's provides a full menu of sandwiches and also is available to cater your next event. For more information, visit their website at www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. Abner's Cheesesteaks, a proud sponsor of Penn Football.
For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality healthcare products and services designed specifically to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, IBC provides healthcare insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, go online to IBX.com.
Hex Murray, it is hard to conceive the Penn Quakers have just taken the lead in this game, 9-7, with just 4:35 remaining in regulation, because they slogged and slogged through the first half offensively, but they've managed to find something. The touchdowns in the red zone have not been there, but Andrew Sampson, 3 of 4 field goal attempts, and just banged that one through his longest of the day, 31 yards into the wind.
Yeah, it got up in the air. It didn't have a whole lot of clearance, but you don't need a whole lot as long as it goes over, and the officials took their good old-time signaling whether it was good or not, just adding to the drama. But it was good, so it all comes down to the last 4 minutes and 35 seconds, and unfortunately I've been up here too many times in games like this and seen them slip away, so the Quakers are going to have to stand tough on defense a couple more times, at least once.
The Penn Quakers against the Columbia Lions last week won their first game of the season, decided by a possession. They're trying to make it two in a row. Quincio kicks off near left, is short, and is taken by Money. Money squeezes through a hole on the left side, and then he's spilled by Jordan Manning at the Bulldogs 36. Hence, Penn defense has been just about as good as you could ask it to have been today so far. They forced turnovers at the most necessary and needed times for their squad to give their offense something, and right now it is time for them to do it one more time.
Well, here's where you figure Yale can get reckless. They've got to make something happen in the last 4 minutes and 30 seconds. That can either work to their advantage or they can get careless in that recklessness.
Especially with a quarterback making the first start of his career. And here is Brock Hart. He's at far side right, falling to the ground to make the catch. On a low throw is Patrick Seddon. Now 3 yards shy of a first down. That'll make it second and roughly three for the Bulldogs from their own 39.
Well, keep in mind that Yale has the wind at its back. That was a choice they made as they came out in the second half. And they, of course, only would need a field goal to go ahead in this football game. So stay tuned.
9-7, 10 in front, 3:55 left in the fourth quarter. Hart takes the snap under pressure, throws over the middle, and breaking up the pass was Chris Wynn. It was intended for Jarrett Drake on the near left side, but he came in after Drake had his hands on it and popped it free.
Good pressure that time again by Jordan Manning. Again, Penn continues to try to harass Hart and put the pressure on him and bring the pressure from areas where Yale may not be expecting it.
Third and a critical three for the Yale Bulldogs from their own 44-yard line. Hart under center. Check that. He now moves into shotgun. Slot near left. A short drop. Heaves it over to the far right sideline, and this time he does hit Jarrett Drake for a first down, and they're into Penn territory at the Quaker 47.
John Stellinger's in there at that corner right now. That was thrown in front of him. Not much he could do about it. The out pattern on a timing device and thrown low enough so Stellinger couldn't get in there.
Penn has fallen in their last two tilts against the Yale Bulldogs, each in crushing fashion. They now have the lead 9-7 with 3:25 left to go in the fourth. High snap and a shotgun play. Hart under pressure, reeling in the reception is Sheffield. He takes the tackle away from Artman, and he gets all the way down to the Penn 35. A gain of 12. Big time play for the Bulldogs. The Quakers unable to secure the tackle there, and right now the defense is being really taken to task and dictated to for the first time in this outing. We've really only seen a couple series this season, and it was the first one of the game against Villanova and a few against Lafayette, where the Quakers D has been carved up. Shotgun set Yale, first and 10 from the Penn 35. Sheffield is brought down initially after making the catch, and that was Josh Powers on the play.
Boy, nice reaction there by Josh Powers. There's nothing he could do. He got beat on the out move, which he had outside leverage anyway, the receiver did, and just great hustle to get there and make the tackle for only a 2.5-yard gain. The ball stays in bounds. The clock's still running with 2:34.
Tom Nancy, the place kicker for Yale. His season long is 39, to keep that in mind. Second and 7, Bulldogs from the Penn 33. Shotgun set. Slot right and left. Hart's under pressure, and he is sacked! Back at the 45! The Quakers stay with it, as it seemed like Hart was trying to wriggle free, but Penn finally pulled them down at their own 44. A big loss of 11 yards.
Going to give that one to Owen Thomas, who just wouldn't stop. Kept coming and coming, as you said, got a handful of shirt and managed to hang on to Hart and drag him down. Wow, what a big swing that is.
Owen Thomas, the first sack of his Quaker career, could not have come at a more crucial juncture of this contest, as now Yale is going to have their hands full coming up on this third down play. The defense, it always hence seems to have an answer, and it responded big time right there after letting up a couple big chunks of plays on snaps this series. A quick look at the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard with 5.5 to go in the fourth. Brown leading Cornell 27-7, so it looks like the Bears will bring an unblemished mark in Ancient Eight action to Franklin Field next Saturday, and we have 2 minutes and 11 seconds to see if the Quakers can do the same. Harvard has jumped on top of Princeton 17-14 with 11:33 remaining in the third quarter. And Columbia and Dartmouth are going to kick off in about 45 minutes. Here at the Yale Bowl, 2:11 to go, 9-7. The 10 Quakers with the lead. Yale scored with 9:24 to go in the first quarter, and that was because their defense returned an interception to the Penn 18. It set up that touchdown opportunity for the Bulldogs there, but their offense has really done nothing since, until this drive when they got down to Penn's 33, their deepest penetration since that touchdown drive. But the Quakers D, it responded with a big-time sack from Owen Thomas. It's a gritty, resilient group, hence this year's red and blue team. It may not have all the kinks totally ironed out, but they do hang in there.
Well, here's obviously another test for them. Third and about 20. It's four down territory, I would assume, for Yale with 2 minutes and 11 seconds to go. So the defense has to stand up one more time, two more times perhaps.
Third and I-95 for the Bulldogs. Third and 19 from the Penn 44. As they break from the huddle, and they'll have Brooke Hart, the quarterback, and a shotgun set. Slot near left, one, far right. Hart takes the snap, drops back, fires far right, incomplete. He was seeking downfield for Blom, his tight end. And Penn answers right there, and there's a flag down on the field.
What a great effort by Owen Thomas again. I don't know how he shook free at the line of scrimmage, but he was right through Hart's numbers as he threw that football. That's why it was a horrible throw. He was lucky to get it off. So it all comes down to this snap, my friend.
As Yale takes a timeout, Jack Sidelecki will discuss with his team. And hence, defensively, if you're Penn, and you've presented the Bulldogs with a 4th and 19 scenario from the Quaker 44, what are you drawing up?
Well, I'll tell you, you'd think maybe some kind of screen, possibly some kind of hook and lateral, perhaps some kind of, you know, when you got to get 20 yards, you don't have a whole lot of options, especially with the kind of relentless pressure that they're putting on Hart. And through the Penn defense to be able to sustain that one more snap here, you know, they're probably going to try to throw something that's going to get the ball 20 yards down the field, maybe crossing pattern at about 12 or 15, and hope they can pick up the rest of it on the ground.
And the most important thing for Ray Priori's defense for the Penn Quakers, hench, is just be as disciplined as you possibly can on 4th and 19, ball at the 44, of the Quakers. It's going to be up to Yale to make the big play happen. The Quakers just cannot help them out. With 2:07 to go in the fourth quarter, Penn clinging to a two-point, 9-7 lead, and whistles blow. And a timeout is taken by the Penn Quakers to try and get themselves set there.
Not a bad idea, just to take a look at what they had in that offensive set. Maybe they saw something they didn't like. Maybe it didn't make any difference. They just wanted to unsettle that Yale offense again and get them thinking.
And one of the things that falls into the benefit of the Quakers' hedge is they have such great veteran leaders on the defensive side of the ball, and Tyson Mogul, Jordan Manning, Britton Ertman, Joe Gonifrow has really come into his own. This is junior season. Obviously, Jay Colabella, two of your three captains on the defensive side of the ball. Jay Faluco, a lot of guys with a ton of experience and ready to make one more big stop to try and send Penn off to their first 3-0 Ivy League start and had a four-game winning streak since 2005. The red and blue are ready. They have broken from the huddle as Yale is taking their time. The Bulldogs playing without their top quarterback. Brooke Hart has come in. And the offense has been stagnant, to say the least.
Pressure, pressure, pressure. Let's keep the pressure on Mr. Hart. Make him throw something he doesn't want to throw. Make him throw it before he's ready to throw.
And for the Bulldogs, their biggest weapon, their biggest threat, who has struggled this season, is not even on the field, and that's Mike McLeod. Now he comes on. He lines up next to Hart. Shotgun set. Slot near left. Hart to throw. Pressure's on. He's hit. He's hit as he throws. It's incomplete. And the Quakers come up with an enormous stop to put them in position to start 3-0 in conference competition.
Jake Luco was shot out of a cannon that time from his linebacker spot, and it's just what we said before. The ball was snapped. Somebody's got to get in there and pressure him. That's about as good as it gets.
2 minutes, 3 seconds to go, and the Penn Quakers can try to bleed this clock out, leading at 9-7. They trail by 7-3, enormous clutch connections on field goals by Andrew Sampson has put Penn on top and in the spot to win this game and snap a two-game slide to the Yale Bulldogs.
Yale's got one timeout, so Penn's going to have to do something here offensively to run this clock out.
Under center, Olsen hands off to DiMaggio. DiMaggio straight up the middle across the 45 to the 47. He accumulates three right there, and the final timeout is taken by Jack Sidlecki and the Yale Bulldogs. Well, Hench Murray, for the first 30 minutes, this one looked pretty, pretty ugly. But the last 30 minutes, it wasn't the prettiest, but certainly prettier.
It was less ugly or prettier, whatever you want to say. I am not going to allow myself to smile yet, Brian, because I've been up here, as I said, too many times and seen things just the turn of events are such that it can turn your stomach. So I don't need that again. Now, Penn can snap the ball, and they got 40 seconds to snap it again, and then they can snap it again, and they get 40 seconds. So with a minute and 58 to go, if they work this clock correctly, you know, they shouldn't even have to think about that. They should be thinking first down. But should they not get a first down, if they get a first down, the game's over.
A minute 58 remains in the fourth quarter. Penn trying to punch its ticket into a huge contest with Brown next Saturday for homecoming, and effectively dashed the ancient eight title dreams of the Yale Bulldogs. Kyle Olsen under center. Near to the right, it is Durham. They hand off to DiMaggio, who just ducks his head under and plows ahead. And he has stopped his progress, that is, at around the 46-yard line. His own 46, a loss of one as time winds down. Again, a 40-second play clock and a minute 40 to go in the game. Penn will have a third and about seven and a half situation from their own 46-yard line coming up right here.
Well, they're certainly going to run this down to 1 or 2 seconds before they snap the ball, but as I said before, ideally it would be nice if they could pick up a first down. On the other hand, they're not going to do anything silly here, nothing crazy.
Third and eight for Penn, they're on 46. The tailback is DiMaggio, and he gets the carry. He spins away from one tackle, darts to the right, And he mushes his way up across the 45 to the 48-yard line. He picks up about a pair there. And time winding down, 57 seconds to go.
They can go to about 23 seconds on the game clock.
There's about a 14-second differential.
They're going to take it down there and call timeout, and then I got to believe they're going to punt the ball.
A 14-second differential between the game and play clocks, as there's 36 seconds to go in the fourth and 10 on the play clock for the Quakers. They just stand around, huddle up, as they're going to be faced with fourth and six from their own 48. And Penn made some minor adjustment attempts, I think mostly in what their rushing attack was able to do, because that is what got the groove going offensively to get them down into the red zone and kick those three field goals from Andrew Sampson.
Well, they were having some luck, as I said, with that trap kind of action up front, and DiMaggio just really picked it up and was playing at a different level in that fourth quarter. So we got 25 seconds left. Penn is going to have to snap the ball on this punt. They're going to have to punt it.
And again, Penn has not beaten an Ivy League team on the road other than Columbia since October of 2005, when they knocked off Dartmouth. So the Quakers are trying to end that trend this afternoon at the Yale Bowl against a Yale squad that was favored along with Harvard to win this year's Ivy League title. But Penn is 25 seconds away from further putting themselves in position to make a real case for the conference crown. Gio Cristogiolo is back to return again. He is very good, a 71-yard touchdown return on a punt run back earlier this year. To boot it away, Kyle Olson. He steps up, and he sends a nice punt near side left, taken by Cristogiolo, and then he's bulldozed away by Johnny Moore, who forces a stumble, and then tumbling down to the turf is Cristogiolo with 15 seconds left, and Penn leading 9-7.
Well, now's when you pull the Stanford band play, I guess. They got a long way to go, and my guess is the secondary for Penn is going to be a long way from where the line of scrimmage is, just to make sure nothing silly happens here.
Brookhart and the Bulldogs break from the huddle. McLeod is in the backfield. They send two receivers far right and one near left. Shotgun set with 15 seconds to go. First and 10, Bulldogs, their own 23. Hart, under pressure, steps up, heaves it over the middle, and it's through the hands of his intended target. And that's one of his receivers, Ken Elberg.
Down to 10 seconds. So they can probably get another play off like that. What Penn needs to do here, if it's at all possible, is to continue with those three downmen to get the kind of pressure on Hart that they've had during that last series, just to make him throw the ball where he doesn't want to.
Second 10, Bulldogs from their own 23, trips near left, Hart back to throw. He has time, heaves it deep down the middle of the field, looking, and it is through the hands of Penn cornerback Johnny Moore, a near interception that could have definitely clinched it, but 3 seconds left now, and the Quakers, that's all that stands between them and a 9-7 gutsy victory at Yale.
Well, they gambled a little bit that time. They came with more than three down linemen, but the Yale offensive line able to give Hart time to heave that thing down the field. What you want to make sure you do also now is not get a penalty, not get pass interference, not get something that's going to prolong this thing.
Third and a final 10 for the Bulldogs from their own 23. Trips near left. Hart back to throw. The game clock has expired. He heaves it up as he's hit. Deep down the middle of the field, and it is intercepted by the Quakers, and that clinches it. Picking it off at the end is Brandon McNally, the former quarterback, and the Penn Quakers have proven they certainly are contenders for the Ivy League title with a 9-7 victory over the Yale Bulldogs, setting up perhaps a showdown of the undefeated next Saturday against the Brown Bears.
I think that's the first time Brandon McNally has set foot on the field all season.
It is, and what a nice moment for him, as it was 9 straight points for the Penn Quakers to topple the Bulldogs after Yale early on. They converted on a Quaker turnover for their lone touchdown, and through two quarterbacks and an offense that struggled to find its footing, somehow Penn persevered.
Well, I think we took care of a lot of skeletons today, Brian, because we've seen some just horrible things up here in years past, and this time the Quakers hung in there and they prevailed and they hung some tough on defense and got their field goals when they needed to after they got some fortuitous breaks that the defense created for them. And what a very, very satisfying victory. 9-7, doesn't look impressive, who cares? This one tastes real good.
We're going to keep it here and start the Comcast SportsNet post-game show right now, as some of us have to have a bust-a-catch pass to Philly. And
why
you know
is
what?
That?
Well, joining the team. Little game going on later tonight. But let's say this much about this Penn team. First of all, when was the last time they took a bus ride back down 95 in a good mood?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, this game has been pivotal in their season for so many years now. You know, you come up, you play your non-league games, you know, even last year it was even tougher because they lost to Dartmouth. But they have to win this football game to be contenders in the Ivy League. And, of course, you know, Yale now goes to have two defeats, and this league, too, generally doesn't get it done. So the Quakers prevail. They're 3-0 in the league, and that's a real good feeling.
4-2 overall, their first four-game winning streak since 2005, and also that was the last time that they were unblemished through three games in the Ancient Eight slate. And hence, you know, we've hit this topic ad nauseum, the fact that in the past, Penn lost games like this in the fourth quarter, but they found a way to close this one out in the fourth and final quarter. And not only does this further put the program in a position to contend for the Ivy League title, but also it's a learning how to win type of experience, which is what they gained today.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And the last two times they lost to Yale was a result of the kicking game.
Yeah.
And so what a factor Andrew Sampson has been this season with his three field goals today. You know, that wins the football game. He's very likely to be the Ivy League player of the week again.
As we run down some quick numbers for you here on the Comcast SportsNet postgame show alongside Hans Murray, Brian Seltzer, and the rushing yards for the Red and Blue, they really started to move it a little bit in the second half. And 97 on 36 carries doesn't seem like a lot, but based upon what we saw in the first half, Hans, that really helped get Penn back into this contest. And how about the total offensive yardage? My goodness, for the Yale Bulldogs.
Wow. You tell them.
52 total offensive plays for the Bulldogs. 92 total yards.
Wow.
That is remarkable. Remarkable what Penn's defense was able to do. And limiting their ground game, the Bulldogs that is, to only 15. I mean, we talked about this at the top. Yale has averaged over 100 yards rushing per game every season since 1996, and they came into this campaign, obviously it's not the same, but with perhaps one of the most heralded running backs in all of FCS, and they were able to contain Mike McLeod.
18 rushes for a net 28 yards, that's probably got to be one of his worst days in his career. And they were, what can you say about the defense? They were just all over these people. Hart ended up 13 for 22 for 77 yards. But he didn't hurt him, and they put relentless pressure on him at the end of the game.
They did indeed. We'll give you the quarterback numbers. Kyle Olsen, 11 of 25, playing the bulk of this game, despite not getting the start for 62 yards, a long completion of 12. Robert Irvin, who began the game, 4 of 10, a pick, 27 yards. Receiving was Marcus Lawrence that led the way with 4 grabs for 32. Right behind him, Josh Koontz, 5 catches, 27. Kyle Durham, the same total yardage on 3 catches. Kyle Olsen, 9 punts as well, 4 inside the 20, as Penn dominated the field position battle, and they were finally able to hit the scale in their direction down the stretch, as all their points came in the second half in this 9-7 victory. The first score of the game was 9:24 to go in the first quarter. It was a 7-yard play to John Sheffield for the Bulldogs, and that put the home team up 7-0. Andrew Sampson then hit a 22-yard field goal, one of 27 yards out, and then 31 yards away, 9 straight unanswered by the Penn Quakers for the 9-7 victory. So, Hans Murray, that makes things very, very interesting. Next Saturday against the Brown Bears.
Well, as you said, they come in at the top of the heap, theoretically, although Penn has the undefeated record as well. Brown probably more impressive in the way they've won their football games, and they have a real offensive machine. The advantage that the Quakers are going to have is it's a home game. It's homecoming. And
Yeah, I expect we'll have a real good crowd there next Saturday. Hope we get some good weather. So that could be an exciting game, and certainly will have significant implications for the Ivy title.
It is official. It will be a battle of the unbeatens as Brown blew out Cornell in 5, and it's 27-7 today. That's a final score as the Brown Bears improve to 4-2 overall, 3-0 in conference competition. Cornell falls to 1-2 in the Ancient Eight slate and 3-3 overall. Harvard is trailing the Tigers at Princeton 22-17 with just 4:59 left in the fourth and final quarter. Harvard entered at 4-1, 1-1 in the Ivy, Princeton 2-3, also 1-1 in the conference. And right here at the Yale Bowl, the Penn Quakers, a gutty, gritty triumph over the Yale Bulldogs, 9-7 is the final score as Penn is now up to 4-2 overall, 3-0 in the Ivies. Yale falls to 3-3, and though most costly on their record, 1-2 in the conference, and that just about does it for the Bulldogs. So, Hench Murray, this should be a nice little rest of the night, and I am very much looking forward to next Saturday. I mean, this is the biggest game for Penn football, and I guess you can make the argument since 2003.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, coming up here or even at Franklin Field playing Yale was always, you know, one of the tipping points in the season, and the last couple of years it's not going in Penn's favor. So the fact that they've got this one under their belts really adds significance to the game next week against Brown.
So as we said, the next broadcast of Penn football on the Penn Sports Network is next Saturday, November 1st. Homecoming on campus, a battle of the unbeatens in Brown and Penn. Our coverage kicks off at noon. The executive producer of Penn Football and the Penn Sports Network is Brian Head. The studio coordinator today, Ed Kiyazada. My partner, Hench Murray, this is Brian Seltzer, saying so long from the Yale Bowl, where the Penn Quakers pull one out against the Yale Bulldogs 9-7. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon from all of us here at the Penn Sports Network.
Whether it's powering up the video board at historic Franklin Field, the radio you tune in to listen to Penn football on the Penn Sports Network, or the TV you watch the Quakers on, PICO is an integral part of the Penn football experience. PICO delivers to more than 1.6 million customers and natural gas to 460,000 customers in southeastern Pennsylvania. PICO is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. For more information, log on to exeloncorp.com.
And now, let's get back to Two Chucklehead Sox Sports, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Fill your thoughts.
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Anyways, next up, the wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989, the wave is about as cool as acid wash pink jeans.
The wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans are not off at the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree? Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine. We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious. G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng. Ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
The zero-calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Fans, if you're looking for a cheesesteak in University City, there's no better place than Abner's Cheesesteaks, a neighborhood tradition, located at 38th and Chestnut Street, and abnerscheesesteaks.com. Abner's provides a full menu of sandwiches and also is available to cater your next event. For more information, visit their website at www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. Abner's Cheesesteaks, a proud sponsor of Penn Football.
2008 Penn Football on the Penn Sports Network has been brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, CNA, the Comcast Network, Comcast Sportsnet, the Holiday Inn Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, the Inn at Penn and Penn A Restaurant, PICO Energy, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Sprinter, United Healthcare, and World Cafe Live. For extended coverage of the preceding game, log on to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Penn Quaker Football on the Penn Sports Network. We now return to our regularly scheduled programming here on News Talk 990 WNTP. Intelligent, conservative talk.
The media.
When you consider what they own and the power they have over the mind of the American people, I believe they could get away with virtual re-education camps. They could get away with lining people up against the wall and shooting them in silence. I'm telling you, we could move right into it. The only thing preventing that from happening is pure chance.